So, last week I had a fairly wild week, or a wild day, I should say, at work. Not last Wednesday, but the Wednesday before. Started off as a regular old day, you know, just woke up, got the kids ready, dropped them off at mom's house, went to work, regular work day. And I'm in the tech support field, and so I got a call in from a guy who, needless to say, was a bit of an a-hole. And me and this guy got into an argument for like an hour, back and forth for like an hour. And it was a situation where he was upset about something that our company had did what we can do on our part. So we were done. We were waiting on another side of it, another company to update something, if you will. But the guy was pissed off at us. And so I'm trying to explain this to this guy. He's talking over me. We're arguing, going back and forth. It gets like an hour long into the conversation. It gets to the point where like I'm starting to get loud, and like some of the supervisors and managers are kind of coming around by my desk, kind of standing, listening. They're not intervening, but they're kind of like, oh shit, you know, it just got a little wild. So, anyway, the dude finally ended up fucking hanging up on me, and I was all mad, fucking frustrated, had to go to lunch and all that. I'm mad or whatever. Get back from, break or from lunch, and then, they pull me off the phone. And I'm like, oh shit, you know, thinking like, did I get in trouble for, you know, the dispute with the guy earlier? Like, what's going on? And so, they tell us some representatives from Asia that produce one of our products is here, and they want me to go talk to them to tell them how to improve their technology, if you will. I'm like, oh shit. So me, I've only been with the company for like not even 5 months yet at this point. And they pulled me and this other dude that's been there for like 6-7 months, and they pull us into the meeting. And so we have an hour long meeting with these Asian representatives telling them how to better improve their product and taking notes and asking questions. It was just like crazy. Like, I was like, okay, so I went from this extreme to this extreme. Then I get out of that meeting, and I get a text, and my mom's in the hospital. So now we have another extreme thrown on top. So my girl hit me up, and she was like, yeah, your mom's not feeling good. I'm dropping her off at the hospital. And my mom had got that stomach virus back in April. Remember that neurovirus, that shit that came off the cruise ships? You remember hearing about that out here?
Yeah, where everybody was kind of stuck in that, being able to shit and had to put it. Well, I don't know if it was the same thing or not, but yeah, you got to love the cruise line.
And so mom's didn't even go on a cruise, but she had caught that, and she got that in April. It took her like a month or two to get over it, and then she got sick again. So we're like, okay, what's going on? So she went up to the hospital. And so I get that extreme. So I'm like, okay, mom's is in working at the hospital and all that, and I'm having this wild emotional all over the place day. And I get to the end of the day, shift is over, I'm having my nighttime meeting with my coach, you know, about the stats and how everything's going in the department. And so we get done with my daily stats and, you know, going over a few things and all that. And he was like, oh, by the way, he was like, you got the position. And I was like, oh shit.
Oh yeah,
I got promoted, and now I'm a project manager up at the company Netstiba, which I have not even, or I've been there now officially for 5 months, and I got promoted to a project manager. And what's so cool about it was I didn't even apply for this position. I had applied for a different position, which was still in the tech side of it, but it was like a lateral move. And I did the interview, and they ended up going with someone who had been with the company a lot longer, and they were more technically sound and all that. But then he had hit me up and was like, oh, well, I kind of want to interview you about this project manager position. And I was like, oh, okay. And then so I went and we did the interview. And at the end of my wild, wild, all over the place day, I found out I got promoted. And the following week, which was last Monday, I started my my position as a project manager for Netstiba Communications. So, yes, sir.
Holler. Well, shit, I'm from having a piece of shit pie, I'm glad there is some icing on top of it now, with a little cherry on top.
It was just so wild because it went from my toughest experience dealing with a customer to the point where I almost cussed this motherfucker out over the phone, to then having this meeting, you know, where I'm helping develop and push the company forward, to then I get a call that mom's is in the hospital, to then I get promoted. Like, it was a wild ass fucking day. And then I end up calling in. I had told him before I left I wasn't going to come in the next day because mom's was in the hospital, didn't have anybody to watch the kids, so I stayed home. And I'm glad that I did, because I end up getting a 3-day weekend out of that to recharge my battery and all that. I started the work week, did 3 days as a project manager so I can get some training, get some understanding of what's going on. And then your boy took a 4-day weekend because I had Thursday and Friday off already because Friday was my birthday. And so your boy took a 4-day weekend. And so I'm maxing, relaxing, and I'm here to do the podcast to share this lovely time with the fine folks out there. So Yes, sir.
Yeah. And now I'm actually a bit confused. Now, out of all this damn town you had off, and your boy Papo over here tries to calibrate a show. Is this your way of like being so power hungry? Like, nah, fuck that shit. I'm on a roll. I'm taking your links.
So no, when we started at noon, that's my first official time that, you know, I finally got some time to myself, because I spent the last 2 days, I didn't even do anything. I stayed at home with the boys, and then Kai had got that same stomach virus, and so he hadn't been feeling good, and they actually freaked us out, because like 2 nights ago, he went to lay down to go to sleep or whatever, and then he like freaked out and started like screaming like he was having night terrors or whatever, so we had to wake him up and calm him down, and then he would calm down and be like, I'm okay, and then he started freaking out screaming again. And so I basically, as much as his 3-year-old mind could tell within a conversation, he had a nightmare. And what's crazy is that when I had the stomach virus, which just passed this morning, you know, before the show, I was on a shitter for quite a long time. That's part of the reason why the show's starting late. But
my favorite place.
When I had the stomach virus, I was going through the same thing where I was having like weird nightmares and dreams and shit. And I hit my mom's up and I was like, yo, it's like when you had the stomach virus, were you having bad dreams? And she was like, yeah, same here. So whatever it is, all three of us had it. And yeah, so it's been a rough week and a half now. It's been wild.
It's life.
So how are you living, motherfucking Soul Papo?
We'll live it up that.
Like, not as exciting, I guess.
Leave it at that, or you know where to begin. And honestly, I haven't come. It's and I don't like to be negative, man. I want to be one of them. I'm the hussar. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to things, I want to be that abundance of light and energy and love. And if I can't give that, then keep me in my motherfucking cave and don't let me communicate with the world. And then now I'm thinking, didn't I not even text you happy birthday yesterday?
I have.
I'm gonna feel real shit if I didn't, because now.
I have no idea, because I got like 60 fucking messages yesterday, which I'm not hating out. That was dope. I was like, oh shit, I didn't know. I felt special. So I don't
love,
know.
Love.
Like, it was all over the place. Facebook, like, I eventually let Kai play with my phone for like 3 hours because so many notifications was going off. And then after he got done.
I'm not going to give a shit. Okay. Well, then I don't have to feel the. No, because I'm thinking to myself. Because I remember the day before telling myself, I'm like, don't you know what I'm saying? I got to. Because mind you, I get so lost in the day, man. There's so much that kind of that just happens. Yeah. We kind of get lost with the things that we have planned, the shit that you go with the flow with. And I remember I'm making it a point to have it in my calendar. My phone reminds me the day before, you know, whatever, you know, so and so. And there's a few different birthdays. So my thing told me the day before. I'm like, okay. And part of me was like, you know, I wanted to be gay and like text you right at midnight. But I had to be up like at freaking 4 o'clock because my boy was gonna come so we can go hit the gym. So I was like, no, I can't stay up late. Like I want to sleep like at freaking 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the evening time. So I was like, all right, well, that ain't gonna work. So like I said, the day was just, it was kind of one of those avalanche sort of things where I was like, I'm like, holy fuck, I forgot it was your birthday yesterday. I hope I at least texted you. I'm thinking I didn't.
Since I can't remember, I'm going to say that you didn't, since I can't remember.
All right, well, I fucking am. Well, since you were so getting blown up on Facebook, IG, everything else, texts, and you didn't even give a fuck, well, then I'm going to just take that as I did. And for some reason, marijuana's fucking me right now, and I really can't remember.
It's all love. It's all
love. Yeah. I think the best...
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Let's bring the show on. No, fuck me. FML, come on. Let's go.
Now, ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between, welcome to the IBHM podcast. I am your host, Arizona Verse, and with me, my dude and co-host, Soul Papo.
Hello.
Yes, sir. I'm black, he's Mexican, and now that that is out of the way, welcome to our show. It is a podcast about nothing in particular. You can head over to our website, IBHMpodcast.com, to find all of our episodes, articles, previous dedications, blogs, and all of our social media links. You could also call and leave us a voicemail at 480-426-0013. Once again, that's 480-426-0013. Now, if you want to hit me up, my main source of social media fuckery is Tumblr, and you can find it at a different state of black.tumblr.com. if you want to holler at my motherfucking dude. So Papa, his main source of social media fuckery is
SoapOppo.tumblr.com. I also fucks this with the Tumblrs. So yeah, SoupOppo, the Tumblr.com.
Yes, sir. We are.
And actually,
oh, go ahead. Oh no.
I was gonna say, man. I had run into a buddy that I hadn't seen in a minute, and he tells me, he's like, "Oh, so you're still doing the show?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm still doing the show." And he's like, "Oh, whatever, blah blah. How the hell's it going?" I'm like, "And I don't know what the hell to say. Like, it's so funny. Normally, I kind of prep myself and question the Q&A things. Like, I can't wait to fucking talk about the show being one of them. Like, I can't wait for motherfuckers to bring up the show. And then finally, when someone does, I'm like, "Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, we're just, yeah." You know, I'm just like, kind of like, "How are you just right now? Hey, how have you been?" And I've been waiting for someone to ask me, "How have you been?" So I can release and I can vent and I can talk. And here I am, sure, she's just like, "Yeah, it's all right, you know?
I'm chilling."
Yeah, it's cool. And it's so retarded. Kind of like, I kind of feel like that hoe that gets ignored a lot and saying, "Oh, why won't ask me? Someone tell me about my day. Someone asked my favorite color, so I can't wait to talk about my favorite color." And then finally someone does, and I'm like, and I can't fucking think of shit. Anyways,
well,
boy brings up the show, and he's like, "Yeah, man, I tried trolling you guys, and I guess this is back when we had Ustream." And I'm like, "Man, we haven't fucked with Ustream in a good little minute." I'm like, "How long has it been since we fucked with Ustream?" But mind you, this is back when I used to work at my other job, and those guys, man, that was like the last dope ass place and company that I worked at to where I didn't care so much for the job, but just the people that were there. They were just a shit. I never met someone who, and me, whether or not people realize that, me kind of being of the faith that I am and quote unquote Bible thumper, like, I enjoy being able to find religious lunatics who are also part pervy, part tech geeky, and part whatever the fuck else. Anyways, so one of the guys, he's a troller for sure. And he's like, "Yeah, yeah, supposedly he was trolling us." And I was like, "Man, we wouldn't fucking known him." I'm like, "Me and my boy would have fucking loved it if someone would have been trolling us, trying to..." I have no idea, but apparently we need to figure out some sort of system to where they can chat with us during.
He was on Ustream. I couldn't even remember.
I'm guessing it was Ustream because that would have been like ages ago. That probably would have been when we first had the show going. I think it might have been about a year ago when Yeezus came out, because I think that's when we were fucking with Ustream.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
I think so, because he mentioned a Kanye episode. I'm like, well, we kind of bring this fucker up every chance that we get, along with King Kendrick. But I mean, I don't know. I would like for us to be able to interact with people who weren't such fucking introvert pussy ass motherfuckers, and they can actually talk with us and bullshit with us live. But then again, here we are saying we're gonna do the show 3 hours ago, and look at us now.
Actually, I didn't even promote when the show was gonna start, because I knew it was ain't no telling. But people could drop comments on the website directly, or they could also go to YouTube. I've had some people during the show hit up and drop some comments on YouTube. And normally it's up in the background, so I don't never see it until the end of the episode. But
makes sense.
Much
makes
love
sense
to all the people who do
help
us out. So we like the attention.
Yeah, yes, we do. We like that hoe that Catlin on 10 likes. Like, 11. Give me 11. Give me 11. Yo.
Right now, we are just outside of the top 100 on Podomatic comedy episodes. And people go ahead and head over to imblackiesmexican.com to go ahead and get that cracking. We want to hit the top 50. One time we got all the way as high as to the top 25 in comedy, which is pretty dope, because there's like thousands.
Where?
And we're sitting right now at 100. So we'll see how it go after we drop the new episode on that ass. Speaking of tension, now that, you know, I'm back off of the grave shift and I'm working a regular morning shift, I get to get up and down with the sun. And so I've been partaking in fucking with the Roku and watching movies on Netflix and all that, you know, when it's before I go to sleep, you know, get a little entertainment, you know, while the missus is laying the boys down. And
doing all the work, parenting.
What's up?
I'm talking shit. I'm like, yeah, I need some chill time while the missus, you know, does the parental thing and handles the shit.
I'm gonna go ahead and chill and unwind a little bit. You know how I do. But I watched this documentary, which it fucks with me, and I end up having Skips watch it because I can't tell what's real and what's fake with it, but it's fairly real, I guess you could say. It's called Snow on the Bluff, and it was a 2012 reality drama film that was directed by some dude, but it's the story of Curtis Snow, who is a real Atlanta robbery boy and crack dealer whose livelihood revolves around armed robbery and drug pushing, and he sought out this director to make a film about his life. Now, it's crazy, and I'm assuming that the beginning of the movie is a reenactment. I'm assuming that they, because as far as I know, you can't legally put out crime, like, in the movie theaters. Like, you couldn't, like, show somebody really getting fucked up and then show it in a movie unless it was a document. I don't know. But anyway, the movie starts out, and it's these three college kids, and they're looking to score some drugs, and one of them's holding the camera. They're filming everything, and they pick up this dude, Curtis Snow, who's like, yeah, I got an 8-ball of cocaine. He's going to sell it to him for, like, $4.50 or something like that, and they buying a whole bunch of other shit. And so he's like, yeah, he hops in the car with him, and he's like, okay, just run me up to my house. And so they get up around the corner, and he pulls out a gun, and he robs them. And so he takes them for their money, and then he steals the camera, and he brings the camera with him in the hood, and he has one of his homeboys film all the wild shit that they doing in the hood. And it seems legit, because there's certain things that happen in it where I'm like, there's no way that you could just find some dusty ass niggas in the hood and for them to be acting as well as they are. Like, it seems like they're in their natural environment, if you will. But
they're in their natural habitat.
They're in their natural habitat, being niggas in the hood. But it was just a wild ass fucking movie, and after I got done watching it, I looked it up, and there's an article on Vice magazine where they're talking about this guy Curtis Snow and how he's trying to go legit. And there's a picture of him, and you can click on the link. It's the second one in the article about Curtis Snow trying to go legit. He has a big slash across his neck. I guess dude got into a
hit him with the box cutter.
Yeah, got hit with a box cutter, and like, it's just some wild shit, because some of this movie has to be, I guess, made up, if you will. But I don't know, it was a wild ass fucking movie. It just kind of, it blew me away. So people, check out Snow on the Bluff next time on Netflix. This shit is wild.
And for some fucking reason, and I actually stayed away from watching it, because I don't know why, I thought it was mixed in with some kind of cocaine cowboys folklore. Yeah. And I remember Netflix keeps making me want to watch it. Like, it keeps saying, recommended for you. I'm like, what the fuck am I watching? This shit's fucking rented for. I'm like,
yo, you like watching Niggas in the Hood.
I fit some sort of demographic where they fucking, they tell me, hey, you should watch this. This is meant for you. They also fucking bring up, is your dick too small to size matters? And fucking, and pedophilia, is it a trend or is it other? Like, what the fuck? What is this? I guess I better start selling crack, you know what I mean? Because they see a nigga broke nowadays, and they figure you can either attempt death or reach riches in selling crack cocaine. I'm like, I know this, but I just don't have the connects. Netflix, quit trying to push me in this fucking direction, motherfucker.
Yo, Netflix has my recommendations all fucked up, because Kai knows how to do the controller or whatever, and so when, you know, after he's done playing and we sit down to watch some TV, he knows how to hop on Netflix, and he doesn't quite know how to switch over to his profile, of course, and so he's watching children's cartoons, so mine will switch between like cocaine cowboys and BMF
fucking Caillou.
Yeah, to Caillou, and this is from Sesame Street, and so yeah, my Netflix is all over the place. So it recognizes I'm still a child at heart, though. So
no, I laughed.
It's gonna be all right though, because I watched the Lego Movie with him. Oh, that is shit,
dude. I got my Pirateer on and peeped it out. I actually didn't dig it, man. Like, I liked the Batman scene. Yeah, maybe I wasn't high enough, or maybe I was too high. I don't know. I have my beefs with Mary Jane, and we'll get into it once those articles kind of go up in the stories. But yeah, man, fuck that shit, dude. No, real talk though, because I was totally joking about the recommendation shit on Netflix. Even though they do try to push some weird stuff on me, they try to push shit that I've already watched, and I feel like, how do I get rid of this without having to watch it? And I figured, oh, you can just give it stars and then tell it to fuck off, like Weeds. Like, I already have that. Literally every season on DVD, because Mary Louise Parker is the baddest old white bitch there is, and I'm a big fan of the series. I'm like, why the fuck y'all keep watching? I'm like, I'm not gonna, I can't give eight years of my life to watch this shit again. Like, don't make me watch it. But yeah, suddenly just give it some stars and tell her to fuck off. And all that does is bring up old shit. Like, I feel like it's like an ex-girlfriend. You keep bringing up old shit. I'm over you. I'm done with you. Keep bringing up old shit.
And I've tried to get into weeds. I got like 4 episodes into, I think, the first season. It didn't quite catch my attention. I don't know what it was. Something about it didn't catch my attention, but everyone keeps telling me how good it is, especially since I fuck with Orange is the New Black. It's the same creator made that, so I'm gonna fuck with it one day.
In the fucking words of Jim Carrey in Living Color, let me tell you something, honestly. Orange is the New Black is only dope because of the characters that they have in it. And that's outside of the main character who, if I don't know if you noticed in the credits, is the executive producer of the fucking show. Fuck that bitch and wanting to include herself and being the pop and the fucking the startup. Not only is she the ugliest bitch in the show, well, not ugliest because she's white, so she has some points in there, but fucking, she just, Weeds is dope. It starts off slow because this is a fucking series that, I mean, I don't know where what other shit she had created or she had produced for. This is her first show, her first story, her first, as far as I know, her first everything. So the fact that it starts off slow like any new series does when it's your first creation, it's Kevin, all I gotta say is Kevin Nielsen and the dude who fucking plays her brother-in-law, it's gonna make the show worth it. I mean, that's all I can say.
See, and I do gotta stick with it because it's the same thing with Breaking Bad, which I think, honestly, by the time I got done with the series, I want to say out of dramatic series, Breaking Bad is my favorite of all time. And same thing with that. It took me about a year to get through, like, the first season. Like, and that's with having Netflix. Like, it was so slow and it wasn't catching my attention. And it wasn't until, like, halfway through the second season that I got hooked. And then within, like, 3 weeks, me and Skips got done with the entire series. So...
As far as Breaking Bad, because Breaking Bad was a dope show, no doubt. I hate the way any show ends. I don't think there's ever a good way to end a show. If you love a series, there's just no way good way to end it. But it took me about 3 to 8 episodes, like literally between 3 to 8 episodes to actually be like, holy fuck, okay, I like this. I can see where this is going to go. But drugs, man, they make you do wild things. And as far as, like I said, old marijuana goes, and it's one of those things to where it can either be a great fucking passageway or it can be a great way to excuse yourself for some stupid ass activity. And what the fuck happened in Atlanta when this thing was on weed?
And yeah, I was taking a look at Curtis Snow and all the activity going on with him. I'm thinking maybe Atlanta needs to legalize weed because over in Denver, where weed is legal, the crime rate has dropped 10%. I thought this was interesting. Shouts out to Raw Story, who I follow them heavy on Facebook. They said, despite dire predictions by anti-marijuana activists, overall crime rates in the city of Denver are down more than 5 months after legal marijuana sales began in the Rocky Mountain State. And according to their Department of Public Safety, rates of violent crime are down, as well as burglaries, leading to an overall decrease in crime of 10.6%. And I think that's fucking fantastic because this is once again another story of a city or a state or a country or whatever legalizing illegal drugs and crime is dropping. People are not losing their mind in the streets like a lot of Fox News correspondents would like you to believe. People are chilling the fuck out because they're being in control of their own body, if you will. They're not being told what they can and can't do with their body, and people aren't as upset. They're relaxing. They're maxing and relaxing. So I'm just saying, we need to legalize this shit everywhere.
I honestly think niggas is too high to be go-getters anymore. What happened to the days when, you know what I'm saying, you have an idea and you execute it? You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you do it by any means, like Malcolm said. And you know what I'm saying? We got motherfuckers that are just too lazy to do shit. Damn.
See, but well, I no think, way is... honestly... No, go ahead. Finish.
No, I was just going to say, motherfuckers ain't go-getters anymore. You know what I'm saying? All of a sudden, you know what I'm saying, the Pepe Le Pew motherfuckers are going to be taken out. We ain't going to get the pussy no more. We just going to be like, oh, well, I'll take it.
If it's still available, you know.
It's still available, you know. But, you know, no, get what you want. Get crack. That gives you energy.
The one thing I will say, since now I'm back on marijuana, and to anybody who's listening to this for the first time, I had stopped smoking weed for like 10 years, and then it wasn't until, it's been, about 6 weeks now I've been back on the marijuana, and I will say, being someone who grew up smoking weed as a teenager, then I stopped for a very long time, then I started smoking again in my 30s, I honestly believe that marijuana just heightens your awareness. It heightens whatever it is inside of your personality, quirks or whatever. And so if you got motherfuckers being lazy on weed, you always was lazy. You just, it's, the weed is bringing out the laziness even more. Cause like, it amplifies it. Yeah. It just brings out what is in you. Because I know when, I get high, I get to fucking cleaning up and getting to being active and getting to hopping on the website and making changes and working on, you know, my screenplays and all kinds of shit. Like I get to moving when I'm high, and these niggas that was lazy, they would be lazy with or without the marijuana. That's what I think. It's just some lazy niggas out there.
I guess that proves a point. I guess I know a little bit more about myself now. I'm a lazy motherfucker.
The marijuana makes you snitch on yourself. That's all.
It really does. Explain to me. If it don't make you snitch on yourself, why the fuck else would Bob Marley tell people that he done killed the sheriff? No, that he didn't kill the sheriff, but he killed the deputy. Oh, you dumb snitch. Tell him on yourself.
I know. Speaking of Bob Marley, looking out in the background, I got the Bob Marley up right there.
No, we cannot see that. You
can't see it. Let me move up a little bit. Yeah, boy, got the Bob Marley popping up. In
America, that tells you that he is down with the dope.
I'm just being natural. What naturally comes to me, you know, I'm just letting it out. So
I laugh when I see a bitch, and I have a few friends who are they're weed enthusiasts. And yeah, this bitch fucking got a goddamn Bob Marley. I think it's that very same thing tattooed on her. And I'm like, bitch, what are you trying to say? You're just trying to tell the world that you smoke? I mean, really? I mean, what's the purpose of that? But then again, like I said, you represent how you want to represent, you know what I mean?
And it's actually funny because outside of, I think only the podcast, this is the only time I ever talk about smoking weed. Like, I don't just go around, hey, man, want to get stoned, man. Like, I have a love-hate relationship with Hollywood. You know, I'm a big movie buff. You've seen my movie collection. I got like 200 something movies. Like, I'm a movie buff. But I do have a problem with Hollywood and how they stereotype certain things. Like, another movie that I watched about a week or two ago was Cabin in the Woods. Have you ever seen that?
I don't fuck with horror movies, to be honest with you. But I heard about it, though.
That's my shit, yo. Outside
horror movies or that particular movie?
Both horror movies and that film in general is my shit. Cause I told you I grew up, moms let me watch horror movies like at a very young age. So I grew up with a lot of night terrors, if you will. And so I've carried that on to my adulthood, and I'd love me a good little scary horror slasher flick. And I had watched.
I love me a whore.
What's up?
Okay. Kevin, oh my god, I love me a whore. But I guess you're trying to say horror? Horror films?
But I watched it like a week ago, and it was pretty good, and I'm not going to spoil anything on there, but anybody who keeps up with the whole Illuminati rumors and different shit like that, it is hilarious. If you watch Cabin in the Woods after you get done watching it, Google Cabin in the Woods plus Vigilant Citizen, and it's a real interesting article on just the ancient rituals and just some crazy wild shit. But anyway, I forgot why that even came up, but I had watched Cabin in the Woods.
Collections.
And I got pissed off because of the stereotypes, and they had the weed head in Cabin in the Woods.
He got dreads, didn't he?
Yeah, I'm just...
Well, the white boy dreadhead, wasn't it?
No, he didn't have dreads, but he was like a nerdy-looking white boy or whatever. And he was one of those, oh, man, you know, smoke weed, man. You need to hit some of this and open up your eyes, man. Oh, it's a conspiracy, and I'm hearing stuff. And it was just that same old bullshit that you see in a lot of... It drives me nuts. It drives me nuts. And it reminds me, too, of going back in the day, about a couple years ago, I had saw, like, I have an opinion on, I've spoken a lot about my opinion on religion, but I also think a lot of religious people get pigeonholed or stereotyped a certain way. And I saw it firsthand one weekend. I had watched, Your Soul to Take or something. Do you remember that Wes Craven movie, My Soul to Take?
Yeah.
I had watched
it. I didn't watch it.
I had watched that. I had got it, bought it at a pawn shop for like $5 not too long ago. And, I had watched that, and they had this chick in there who was like the Jesus freak, and she was kind of weird. And when all these killings were happening, it was like, oh, maybe it's the religious nut over there. She's trying to kill these sinners or whatever. And then that same weekend, I had watched, what is it? Easy A with Emma Stone.
My baby. Yeah.
With my other boo thing, Amanda.
Okay, Amanda Bynes. Yeah. Now that you bring that up.
Yeah, and she played that
annoying Christian. Like, they don't fucking sing Kumbaya. Most Christians are closet Christians, and they keep the shit to themselves.
And then right after I got done watching that, then like the next day I watched the episode of House of Lies with my boo thing Kristen Bell, and there was an episode in there where it was because they're marketing people, and so that's their job, so they get hired to market and help people become rich and successful. And they were doing marketing for this big, one of those big Joel Osteen mega churches.
Yeah.
And so they were doing marketing for them. And
wait, on the show?
On the show. Well, it wasn't Joel Osteen. It was a character that was on.
He has the creepiest smile for any of those who have ever seen his shit.
I don't like that motherfucker. Ooh.
Jesus likes him. Shit, yeah, he really creeps me out. I ain't gonna lie.
But,
Maybe just hating on his beautiful teeth, and I'm here with some crooked ass UK looking shits, but anyways, keep going.
Pearly whites.
Fucking that. Them pearly whites are only the only congregation of Christ can fucking afford, with everyone's 10%.
And they had did an episode where they were working for a mega church, and they did another one of those stereotypes where it was like the mega church's pastor was a piece of shit, and he was cheating behind his wife's back, and his wife found out. But then they were going to make all this money to make their church even bigger and more successful, and they were going to be able to buy another Porsche. And then so that whole thing of the preacher trying to guide the people because they're sheeple, and then behind their back they're making all this money. And it was just crazy because I ran into all three of those stereotypes in one weekend between watching TV and movies and all that. And I was like, I don't know, it's crazy how you have those stereotypes within movies. And once again, you know, people, they watch movies, and it's very similar to having a dream. Your subconscious is realizing you're watching a movie but doesn't quite realize it, so those stereotypes start to, you know, dig into your brain, if you will. And there's a reason why they call it television programming. And I think that shit like that happens after a while, and people start believing that shit. Oh, that's how they are, because look, it's like that on the TV. So
it's where our minds are very easily influenced. And once again, mind you, as much as I am an advocate for marijuana, because I really feel like it could help, it could save, obviously it amplifies, but for those that abuse things, it is controlling, it is manipulative, because on the real, like, so we become very sensitive, very fragile, very vulnerable. If anything, like, I know when I smoke, man, like, without sounding too fruity, like, I need connection, man. I need to fucking hold the hand. I need someone, something to show me that I'm not fucking floating off and fucking... Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And that might be my just corny excuse of being able to get with a bitch so I can, you know, be one and be closer with her, and then eventually make the Misa two packs. But no, it really does. It opens you for a lot of shit, whether that be evil spirits or whether that just be inception, like just seeds of influence. And yes. Mind you, and those sort of stereotypes, they close in on you. So I know that's how we'll view things. And really quickly, just because you mentioned the pastor thing. There's some shit that happened. I don't know if you heard it on the news. Was it this past week? I think it was. Well, no, Catholics have priests, right? Are they priests? There was a young priest and some old priest, and I don't know. You know, speculation can only fucking say if there would have been some sort of hanky panky shit going on. But apparently, someone had broken in, and pretty much the young. Long story short, the shots are fired. Young priest dies. Old priest who has been controlling the reins of that church lives. And only conspiracy will fucking prove
out
with
here,
it.
Right?
Yeah, downtown. Yeah. So I don't know. I tried to do some investigating, and some things led to, you know, me figuring. I ain't no damn journalist. Like I always put on the YouTube, I ain't no damn journalist. We podcasters. Yeah, man. But there's some shit, man, and that happens everywhere, bro. And anytime you try to squeeze power, man, it'll pop at you.
Yeah,
so.
And I think that goes with anything, because, you know, it's a controversial take, but I do believe that you should be able to legalize everything. And kind of the thought process with it is that anything in moderation could be okay. There's businessmen who are six-figure, seven-figure a year businessmen who snort cocaine during during you know lunch hours and all
strictly
that.
Strictly business hours. If I can afford it, Lord Jesus, what I do? I goddamn.
Exactly. We've all seen Wolf of Wall Street. Movies influencing us.
Scorsese, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, but so anything in moderation could be okay, and that's the whole thing. Like I remember listening to Graham Hancock talk to Joe Rogan on one of their episodes, and Graham Hancock, I really agreed with it. He was saying how having laws to make drugs illegal is stupid because you already have laws in place to stop people from raping, from killing, from stealing, and all that. And so by adding on these other laws to say, okay, you can't do drugs because these drugs make you do these, you're just adding on more and more laws. There's no need for all these laws. Just, hey, you know, you can smoke weed, you can snort coke, you can do whatever. Just don't fuck anybody else up. Just don't steal from someone else. And that goes back to, I remember watching Drugs Incorporated, and they had a whole thing on Sweden. It was either Sweden or Switzerland. I believe this came up on the show a long time ago. But it was, yeah, I think Switzerland. And they had a park where it was like a central park where people were addicted to heroin, and that became Heroin Park. And people were going there all the time, and they were shooting up heroin and getting drugs, and they were robbing people who were coming through and all that. And so Switzerland legalized heroin, and they made a ration where you could come to the government, to a government office, and we'll give you one dose of heroin a day. Just don't commit any crimes. And crime dropped, and they cleared up that park because the people that need to get high is still there. You just need to give them a more legal means. And then like prostitution dropped, and a bunch of people weren't like OD in the same way because the heroin coming from the government was actually a cleaner dose of heroin. So you know it's some legit shit that you're getting, that you're shooting up. You don't know what the drug man did to step on it to, you know, try to make that cut to make a little bit extra money. And so it helped their society. And same thing, it could help our society. It's moderation is key, and there's already laws in place to stop people from being jerks. We don't need extra laws.
Right. So. But that still don't explain why motherfuckers crashing into the goddamn CNN buildings. Yeah. I feel like that.
Because marijuana is good in moderation, but some stupid niggas don't need to be on anything like this dumb heifer who did indeed crash her car through the plate glass at CNN Center. Apparently, those might be dandy reasons to explain why a man drove his soft-top Mercedes coupe into CNN Center in downtown Atlanta early Friday, but police have a better reason. The driver was allegedly high. He was smoking on some trees. And
that must be it. It could have been because he was working a high stressful job, and yeah, you didn't see him driving his fucking Mercedes around. And no, come on now, you can't blame it on weed, really.
Just the marijuana. But luckily there were no injuries, and a driver, which he must be working hard than the motherfucker, because he's only 22 and he was traveling near the intersection where CNN's world headquarters is located when he left the roadway and struck the building. And I will say that, yeah, if you're 22 and you have a kind of job where you could be driving a soft-top Mercedes coupe, pretty sure you're putting in some long hours. I'm pretty sure, you know, it's taking more than 40 hours a week to afford a job or a car like that. He's doing some legit shit. He's trying to scroll through and see if it says what.
No, it didn't say what he was doing. They just said that it was right into the CNN building. So, I mean, I'm not too sure how they had things labeled around there, because I know downtown here, you really wouldn't know that you're passing by the NBC building or the freaking, or whatever Fox ABC thing. You really wouldn't know it because they kind of keep it rural. You know what I'm saying? They don't want motherfuckers out there with signs, so, but then again, I don't know how hot Atlanta is and if everything's on Peachtree Street, as I hear, but yeah. I don't know. That's just some dumbass shit. You know? So, but once again,
it says police noticed the odor of marijuana in the car. Todd had marijuana in his possession and told police he had been smoking while driving. Todd also told police he had been driving all night and fallen asleep at the wheel. See, that's one thing that he, you know, was exhausted. He smoked the marijuana and it heightened his sleepiness, and then the nigga fell asleep at the wheel. So, lesson learned, don't drive under the influence. There you go. We don't need an extra law to make weed illegal. Just don't drive under the influence. Same thing with alcohol. Don't drive under the influence.
But it's so fun, though. Honestly.
such a good time.
Honestly, I don't like, I really, especially, I mean, here in Phoenix, it takes about a good 15 minutes, usually 15 to 30, depending on where the fuck you gotta go and depending on traffic, to get somewhere. Yeah. Usually you get somewhere, kind of like I know, you can get somewhere in 20 minutes, depending on how good traffic is, or it can fucking take your shitload of time. But honestly, I hate being on the fucking road. I just don't like it. And if I do, I need to be constantly smoking. Or something to kind of, I mean, I really can't jerk off and drive at the same time because my window's
open.
So all I'm fucking gonna do is smoke and drive, and that's illegal. So shit, what can I do?
I know, that's funny. So I had a fucking article playing in the background. I was trying to find the mute. There we go. Okay. But that shit is fucked up. And I'm also the same way. I'm not too big of a driver, if you will. And I remember back, shit, it was like maybe like 10 years ago, somebody tried to convince me to become like a truck driver, and I don't think I could be on the road like that, man. I don't think I could do it. So I don't know.
The only reason I would want to, but then again, it fuck with my profit margin, because I probably just want to ram motherfuckers up the road. If I had that big of a fucking weapon, like, it's bad enough I want to fucking dick every dyke I see, you know what I'm saying? When God gives you a gun, that doesn't mean you gotta start shooting motherfuckers. But I know, yeah, you know what I'm saying? If you gave me some Optimus Prime looking fucking diesel shit, I'm gonna wanna ram motherfuckers off the road. I would.
See, and I would too, because when I was working at that place that we used to sling panties at, when I was working over there, I had became one of the box truck drivers for a while.
What? And,
yeah, I was one of the guys that had to drop the mail truck to go to the post office to pick up the cages and do all that shit. And it would be like an hour-long trip every day. But even with that and driving that box truck, which isn't a semi, it's just a box truck, you do need to get a different type of certification license to drive. But even with that, like, seeing how people cut you off, I couldn't imagine being in a fucking semi and somebody cutting me off. And I understand why motherfuckers, like, you just want to run a motherfucker off the road. Like, bitch, move. Shit.
Yeah, shit, I got official business to do.
Yeah.
And you know what? And I think that's why they just don't give too much privileges to niggas with attitude. I really don't think.
Yeah, and actually, even before niggas with attitudes, talk about niggas with yuck mouths, I guess you could say. I had saw this, and this was a controversial thing that happened back in 2006. And to jog into
like, why did we just let go of it? Why is it because he just kept on coming out with hot music that we figured, we can fucking ignore these gay ass faggot ass tendencies?
I don't know why this got left in hip hop and why people like completely forgot about this. I for the life of me don't know. But for those who don't remember, in 2006, a picture of Lil Wayne kissing his quote-unquote father, baby, on the lip surface online, and many thought the photo would end the career of Cash Money Rapper, me being one of them. I thought that nigga career was done when that picture came out. But it says, in truth, the reverse has happened. Wayne went on to become a superstar. Well, that infamous kiss is still a topic of discussion today. The latest person to weigh in on that display of physical affection between Weezy and Baby is former Hot Boys member Turk, who didn't he just get out of jail or some shit? Is that why the nigga is back in the news?
I believe so. And wasn't he formerly Lil Turk? I guess he evolved into Turk. If I remember correctly, I don't know. Fucking last thing I remember from fucking Hot Boys was the fucking Rap It Like It's Hot. So, who the fuck?
And, yeah, so Little Turk, who, yeah, was in that group, which is funny, because I had mentioned this to, somebody that I work with who, he's a younger cat, I think early 20s, like 22, 23 or something, he's a fan of Lil Wayne, he's a real big fan of Lil Wayne.
Naturally.
And I had told him that me being, 31 now, like, I was in high school when Hot Boys was out. And Lil Wayne was the whack in Hot Boys. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And Lil Wayne was the whack one in the group. And so I fell off from listening to music.
He was the Tony Yayo of the
He was the Yayo of Hot Boys. And then so I had took a big break from a bunch of shit. I don't know what the fuck I was doing in my life. Must have been dark years. But I call it the dark ages where from like 02 to 03-04 to like 2009-2010, I wasn't really following music, I wasn't following professional wrestling, like all my vices, all the things I nerd out about right now, like I wasn't really fucking with them back then. And so
this is getting pussy.
I guess so. And all that pussy I was swimming in. No. Apparently, with all that shit going on, I missed when Lil Wayne became like the greatest rapper alive. And so it was just kind of crazy when he blew up. And then so I was telling that to this dude. I was like, I can't get into Lil Wayne because back when I was deep into listening to music, like he was the whack nigga in the group. So I can't wrap my brain around that he's the hottest rapper when he was the weakest one in his crew. That just doesn't make sense. So I don't know. So I said all that to say that Turf was hotter than that nigga back in them Hot Boys days.
I forgot who it was. Was it not Freddie Gibbs? There was some dude who apparently had ghost written for him, kind of in the drought days, the drought mixtape days. Who was it? Was it Currency?
Currency.
Because well, I know he's from Louisiana too. Gilly so the Gilly the Kid is who I'm thinking of. That's what the biggest beef was with the team. Is like, you know, who did he steal his shit from? And you know what? And that's kind of another big debate in hip hop is,
yeah.
Mind you, hip hop evolved, it became to be from sampling off other people. Originally, it was sampling from records, you know what I'm saying? Whether it was a hook, whether it was a little instrument, whether it was whatever little sample. We sampled, that was pretty much stealing. Yep. But at least back then, as far as lyrical content goes, that was called biting, you know what I mean? Which kind of was contradictory in itself. We can steal someone's music, but we can't steal someone's style. That was biting, or whatever, there was a guideline there. And then now, you know, we influence each other so much to where it's pretty much mimicking. It's pretty much stealing because we want to kind of follow and fit into this fucking, this trend and this, you know, stable that is what we call popular. You know what I'm saying? And it's doing that very thing. But what did Turk say about the whole kissing shoes?
So yeah, Turk chimed in and he said that we was all like baby's kids at one time. He took us from our mama, which sounds real like R. Kelly creepy, I don't know. But he says when we were young, so he was like a big brother daddy for the ones who ain't have it. Only one that the only one that baby didn't play that role for was Juvenile, because even though his name was Juvenile, he was old. So he didn't look at baby the way we did. It says, then the conversation turned into Wayne and Baby kissing. Turk expresses the media and fans blew the situation out of proportion. That's just something niggas did in-house. Just like when niggas play basketball, a nigga might make a shot, a nigga hit him on the ass. That don't mean he a fag. That means good job, explained Turk. We all used to do that shit. That was an in-house thing. Niggas used to be like, you got love for a nigga? How much you love me? It was just a homeboy thing. If that don't sound like some the nigga booty ass shit that was going on back then, they looked up to this nigga as they daddy, and it was like, you got love for a nigga? How much you love? You love a nigga enough to suck his dick? I'm sucking a nigga dick if you love me.
Now, he really like, love me.
Yo?
Yo, well, you know what? They did take him from the mama, and you know what I'm saying? And what do we do? What do we do about? We suck the mama's titty. Well, even the baby I know got some saggy titties from weed and how well we do. Apparently, weed gives you man boobs, by the way.
I'll do it.
Fuck, I mean, who knows if they're sucking on this fucking, on this angling. I wouldn't fucking doubt it, shit, like, on the real. Kind of like how, with the Drake and Lil Wayne, on the real. A lot of this shit are hella suspect, too. With that song, She Will, but for the realest fucking niggas in the game, She Will. But what the fuck, you're the goddamn she in the situation, and you're the bitch.
Yeah. Keep going.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I mean, that's just, yeah, if that don't sound like some gay activity, fucking some real closet faggery shit, I don't know what the fuck that is.
And it's funny.
I love my daddy, but that nigga my daddy, though. So.
Yeah, I ain't going to be doing all that. And it's funny because, I mean, there's nothing wrong with kissing your biological children. I got two boys, and, you know, I kiss them. It's nothing wrong with kissing
square in the mouth.
Biological child. But, like, it gets creepy.
Look at his mustache, Wills, too. Can't you keep going though?
No, it gets creepy when you got a man who steps into these teenage boys' lives and then he's kissing them on the mouth and I don't know, it's just, it's weird, yo. And I was never comfortable with that. Just like, and I guess it's not a direct comparison, but I said during that time, like, if that was Eminem, 50 Cent, and Dr. Dre that got caught kissing one another on the lips, their careers would have been over, because there's already rumors on all three of them niggas about them being gay. And so if that were to come out, like, I think it would have fucked up their career. And the fact that it seemed to just help Lil Wayne, I don't know, it's fucking insane. So
I think that's true Illuminati pushing, man. I really do think it is. Because on the real, mind you, I could be wrong. He probably fucks every bitch that comes in his way. But I honestly feel Nivea was his beard. He got that bitch pregnant. It's simply a power fucking move, because she was married to one of the illest producers in the game, The Dream. Yeah. I still think that was a fucking lie. God, I really feel like that was just a fucking push. And then they tried pinning it, saying that it was on some mafia shit, because the mob, and the fucking mob, they fucking nearly kissed the ring and whatever fuck like that. Like, I didn't understand the kiss on the forehead. I understand the fucking, you know what I'm saying, one of those overly, I'm a hugger, you know what I'm saying? I hug my boys, you know what I'm saying? Show love. Fucking kiss. Yeah. Come on, like, I don't know, maybe because I'm Latin and I'm used to the, on the side, the two, you know, the two things on the side, but fucking, I don't know. I think that's some thuggery taken too fucking far on some Italian shit. I don't know.
I know, and I do think that there's some suspect with it, and I do think that there was some behind the scenes dishonesty going on, similar to your boy Casper Smart, who is dumping J-Lo, because or J-Lo dumped him, I should say, because she caught him with not one, but yet another tranny. So, and these fucking articles that keep playing in the background, I know, it just drives me nuts. But
wait, so that's the dude that she's currently with then? Casper?
Yeah, what? Casper, or no, Casper Smart is his name. Yeah, he's part of the Cougar Club, if you will. But this chick in here,
he looks like he's coked out of his mind in this fucking picture with her.
Yeah, and that chick, I think that's the one to the right. Ah, this link ain't got the pictures of both chicks. One of the chicks is all right looking. It doesn't show, but apparently,
that's the trend.
Yeah, the tranny is that one to the right. I think that's the one that looks like a man. There's another one that had, like, dark hair.
No, the bitch actually looks so man decent. But then again, I really don't trust Asian bitches. And as much as I want to add that one to the repertoire so I can say I had me some dim sum, like, I really don't fucking trust them bitches, because I've seen the makeup videos and I've seen a fucking man that looks like a fucking sloth, look like a goddamn cosplay fucking sex doll, and it scares the bitches out of me. I don't trust Asians. Fucking Childish Gambino's a secret fag, and he has a thing for them. I don't know.
I know, because men are already so feminine looking that once you throw them the makeup, it's kind of really hard to tell. And yo, if you Google, what did I Google? J-Lo, I did J-Lo, Casper Smart, and then Tranny. And then it's about 8 to 10 pictures down. There's a chick, I guess it's from Bossa. The picture shows him on the left waving, and then shows her on the right with black hair and a black bra. Like, that looks like a real legit American motherfucking woman. Like, she can get it in the New York Minute. This other one that's in this article, she kind of manly looking, the Asian one. But this other one with the dark hair, I'm like, God damn, yo. Oh, hot tranny, man. Kind of hard to tell. Oh, damn. The one, though, she got some hips on her.
Oh, see, now they've gone too far. Don't you dare fucking use the mimic them mother bearing hips for your tomfoolery.
Look like she can knock out a few kids with them hips. That shit is crazy.
But, technology,
but technology is a motherfucker. But apparently, as the story goes, on Monday, The Dirty published a report that the 27-year-old choreographer has been seeing transsexual model Christina Marie behind the 44-year-old superstar's back. This comes exactly 1 week after a claim was made that Smart had been having a fling with transsexual bikini pinup Sophia Vissa, who I'm assuming is the one.
Is this Chinese a porn star? Because I'm looking Google Images, and I'm seeing bitches showing off the dicks with this one. I'm not too sure if this is just what Google is bringing up, but
let's see. This is an excuse to see chicks with dicks. Let's go ahead and
do that. I'm going to cop out of this one. I'm just
Christina Marie. Let's see what comes up. Because I'm assuming the other one is the pinup model chick. I'm trying
to. No. Okay, so apparently J-Lo's fat ass is no match for a fucking for a bitch with a thin waist and a fat massive cock.
You know, I think
that's where the world's going.
I think that's your Google search, because mine's not bringing up any that's rated X.
I don't even. Hey, for the record, that operating system, because mind you, I use a couple different operating systems. I'm using, and I fucked up by using my business one to try to Google this shit. So that's what it's pulling up, man. I am not using my porno searching operating system, let me tell you that.
And that's why my state search is on. Anyway,
either which way, it ain't important. How the fuck is it?
I think so. Fucking,
It goes to show, though, honestly, man, you can't stop where you can find love. I mean, truly. I mean,
and you know,
time and time and...
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, I wasn't... What, you go.
No, I was just going to say, this, like, really, like, brings to mind for me, or makes me wonder, like, what the fuck is wrong with J-Lo? Like, is she such a damaged person that no one wants to be around her? Like, I hate to be that asshole,
but she
gets into a lot of relationships, a lot of high-profile relationships, a lot of high-profile breakups. Like, what is wrong with her is what I want to know. It's kind of the same thing with, like, Taylor Swift. Every hit song of hers is a breakup song, is a get-back revenge song. And eventually you got to ask, like, bitch, what's wrong with you? And that's what I asked.
Yeah, what is you doing? These motherfuckers ain't happy. Honestly, yeah. I think she's cut. And, I mean, I don't know her personally, but, I mean, I you can see the bitch in her. She's a diva. I'm pretty sure because of the fan that she is, she thinks highly of herself. Bitch can't sing for shit, but she got famous for that ass. Which should have been a fucking thing. She should have just stopped that, you know, bitch, you have a fat ass, and, you know, that's really all that you're good for. But apparently she found her niche. I'm saying, started fucking with Diddy. He kind of got her into the fucking music realm, and, you know, shit just broke off. She got in with Be Mediocre, because Be Mediocre with a fat ass will get you a lot of places. And I think that's just ultimately what it was, and it got to her fucking head. I mean, when her, I wasn't even a big Mark Anthony fan, but, one of my faggot homies, actually, is really obsessed with him. He was translating to me, even though your boy knows Spanish, I don't really catch all the nuances and little slang terminology shits. Anyways, he was breaking down his last album, one of his singles. I forget what it was called, but it's just, he pretty much airs out her shit, and she's very egotistical. She's very controlling, and what fucking man wants to be controlled by a bitch unless he's a submissive motherfucker? Not a motherfucker, I don't think.
No matter how fine she is, you don't want to be in a situation like that, so.
I'm like, if anything, that's when the real egotistical, I can't even think of other fucking words, misogynistic motherfucking Bible thumper me comes on. Bitch, you are my rib. You are my shit.
Bitch, get under my heel.
Yes. Fucking watch it. Yeah, like the serpent should be. I don't know. What do you think? I mean, I believe Mark Anthony when he fucking said that shit. He blew with this fucking cocaine in his ass.
And I believe that too, and it reminds me of Jamie Foxx had did some interview a long time ago, and they had asked him about, it was when J-Lo first blew up, and they had asked him what he thought about J-Lo blowing up, and he was like, I remember when J-Lo was J-Ho, like, he remember when that bitch wasn't nobody. And so I do believe that, and I'm pretty sure possibly the same thing with Madonna. Like, when you come up in the fame like that, like, it goes to your head, and you start to see yourself as above people. Like, you're not of the people, you're above the people. And so which is all these breakups, I would have to imagine something's wrong with her. So I don't know. We'll see when we finally get
out. That's
I'm waiting for a Waiting to Exhale Latina version with J-Lo as the main character. That's what I'm waiting on. So.
Shit. Oh, she's of age where fucking it'll be like fucking J-Ho got her hoe back. You know what I'm saying? I mean, even Ben Affleck, he wasn't falling for that shit either. He's like, I'm going to get me some Jennifer Garner. Fuck that bitch. The bitch can't make no damn tacos, but neither can J-Lo. They want to be Puerto Rican ass. I don't fucking know. I just feel, anybody with power, man, you're gonna fight them with regardless. But I mean, I don't know who this dude is, but I mean, dude's looking nice. I'm pretty sure he has to have money. I mean, I doubt we live in a world where people actually fall in love for just pure love, and you can have the poor artistic man and the fucking the abundantly fucking rich bitch. I mean, I wish I lived in a world where it was novella-esque, And you know what I'm saying? I could find that sugar mama to fucking let me be that stay-at-home dick. And you know what I'm saying? And kind of pull off that, what was it, that skit that Dave Chappelle did when he fucking started fucking with Oprah?
Oh, like, yeah, I do remember that skit.
Pretty much just that. I don't know. That's the American dream, to be able to do that.
Okay. So we'll see who the next choreographer who ends up in a bed sheet. Sorry.
Who gets to be able to make it?
Yeah. And speaking of bed sheet.
Oh, is that who that guy? Because I don't. That was her first husband, right? That was her first husband, right? Who was her choreographer? Who she married?
No, well,
was very brief
choreographer too. So I think she dates a lot of choreographers. Ain't that the same thing with Britney?
She fucks
Spears
with the help. She fucks with the help. Well, K-Fed was just a backup dancer, I think.
Oh, same.
But I don't know about her. I don't fucking know.
Some sexy, flexy ass niggas. Same difference. That's all it is.
All I know is I need to get back in shape so I can become a fucking ballerina, because I've been wanting to fucking do that. Maybe that'll be my niche. I don't know. We'll see. What's next on the fucking agenda, bro?
I know. And speaking of people not giving up, I guess you could say, Donald Sterling isn't giving up. This motherfucker is now in a battle with the NBA. He's fighting to keep his basketball team. He says, from the onset, I did not want to sell the Los Angeles Clippers. I have worked for 33 years to build the team. He said that the team is not for sale. It's unclear how Sterling's settlement will affect the deal he and his wife, Shelly, had made to sell the team to some dude for $2 billion. But the thing that I find funny in all of this is that if this isn't that plantation mentality of, these is my niggas, I paid for these niggas, I am not selling these niggas is mine. That's all that runs through my head when I hear him. If he is bad, this is some plantation shit, and once again, everybody gets upset, but this is why I don't give a fuck how much athletes make, because they're in a newfound plantation setup of these white men who are billionaires thinking they own these niggas. I brought you out the projects, and I made
they
you.
They do.
And it kills me. So, look, yeah, fucking give Kobe $88 million next year.
I don't play your freedom, man.
Did take that money and run. Now, I will say, though, I am highly disappointed. I'm gonna call out my black people in this episode. I'm highly disappointed that a black organization didn't step forth to buy the motherfucking Clippers. Now, I understand $2 billion is a lot, but when you got Jay-Z's and Rick Ross's and Dr. Dre just got that $3 billion deal and 50 Cent, all there's no excuse why some black millionaires or partial billionaires couldn't have came together to buy this team as the ultimate fuck you. You have this plantation slave mentality. Well, now some niggas own this team. How do you think about that? You dropped the ball, so, hey, black America, don't complain, you know, because once again, we dropped the ball. That was ours for the taking.
Now, are they actually a good team? I don't, your boy doesn't keep up with your sports, but is it true that they didn't get good until all this controversy started popping off?
No, they actually, they're a pretty good team. Since they got Chris Paul, which was maybe like 3-4 years ago, and everybody's favorite half-breed, Blake Griffin. Ever since they got the two of them on the team, they're a pretty good team. Like, they're a playoff-bound team, and they're one of those teams where if, like, say, next year they were to win the NBA championship, it wouldn't be that big of a surprise. Like, they have the pieces where they should eventually be a championship team. So.
Okay. Well, well, then, honestly, then, yeah, they obviously, the black community don't give a fuck. If it was a team full of faggots, well, then, you know, LBG will be all up in that ass.
Him having a problem with whatever that fucking tranny looking chick that he was dating, Vivi Stefiano or whatever her name is, if he was saying, hey, don't be taking no pictures with no motherfucking faggots, then yeah, the LGBT community would have swooped in and they would have bought the fucking Clippers, and that'd be the first, you know, team who they parade as on the gay pride parade. Like, they would have swooped in and bought that shit.
Fucking yellow and purple would have been the official gay colors, you know what I'm saying?
If that was fucking Jews, if he would have been like, don't be taking no pictures with Jews, Jews would have swooped in and they would have bought that shit. But niggas love to just sit and complain about something.
Yo, really quickly.
We just want to complain, like, oh, fuck you, that's racism. Oh, white supremacy, oh, it's so bad. You going to do something about it? No, I'm just sick.
No, I'm just saying.
I don't want, you know, to own anything. But I don't know. I'm just saying.
Yo, and really fast when you mentioned the Jews, man, I started cracking my ass up because, you know what I'm saying? I ain't never happy. Can't ever be happy. You know what I'm saying? Not till the death of me. Not till Jesus comes up in the goddamn station. Either fucking condemns me to hell or takes me up with daddy. You know, will I fucking be happy? Anyways, looking at other jobs, right? And I'm hearing a statistic that obviously putting your religious beliefs is never a good thing to fucking put on your resume. And I think they're bringing it up because someone had talked about their contributions to the Catholic Church. I don't think that's ever a good fucking church to ever fucking bring up, only because of all the just controversy that goes behind it. But anyways, they're bringing up that out of all the shits to bring up, because one shouldn't. And then another thing too, like when places ask for your race, like why the fuck does that matter? I'm pretty sure we gotta play the, what is it called when you get hired simply because of your, what is it called? What's the name of the show?
Representative or what?
What's the name of the show? What's the name of today's episode?
Oh, Empty Browsing History.
Fuck, I thought we named something else.
Oh, no.
About the
title. You talking about affirmative action?
Oh, okay.
Oh,
affirmative action.
Yeah.
All right. Well, affirmative action is when, you know, when they try to fill in a certain demographic, right? Like, oh, we need more blacks to show that we're diverse. Isn't that affirmative action?
No, and actually, what's funny, because that is affirmative action, but actually a quick little side note, it's actually funny because that's how it's viewed, is that affirmative action gets black people so many jobs and all that. It's actually any set of minority which isn't a white male helping get jobs. So white women get jobs because of affirmative action, fucking Asians and Middle Easterns and them fucking slurpy slinging Manny Patels that you have. And I know that was racist as fuck, but oh well. Like they get job positions because of affirmative action. Any non-white male, that's what affirmative action helps. But the stigma within society is that, oh, that's the reason why all these niggas got jobs. But
That was my exact belief when they let a bunch of niggas start working the job that I was at. I'm like, damn, I'm like, brother after brother, and weave after weave. I'm thinking, what the fuck is going on here? Do we need to fucking meet a quota? I mean, I was like, hide your fucking chicken, hide your goddamn shit in the refrigerator, like shit's about to get turned up. Hide your watermelon.
These niggas is here to stay.
Yeah, well, maybe not to stay, but they're surely here for the day. You know what I mean? Like, damn. And why the fuck did I bring it up? Okay, religious thing. All right, so out of all that, right? They said that the one thing, God, and it got really racist for a second. Out of all that, they said that the one good thing that you can actually put as far as your creed, your religion, or like that, is if you're Jewish. They say out of all the fucking things, companies, they know that the alien is real. You are likely more hireable if you show some sort of Jewish connection. Ain't that a motherfucker?
Because they rule the world.
They rule the world, and you're like, and you could be going for a goddamn temping position, and like, you know what, accounting's been down recently, but you know what, there's this Jew that wants to work here, hire him. Fucking God will surely bless that department. I don't fucking know.
Funny, I do the same thing because my first name is Gary, which is a European name, and then my last name is Peoples, which is of Scottish descent, but I think it's now considered more of an Irish last name. So essentially, I have a Caucasian government name. And when I fill out those applications, I always put, when it asks for the race, I always put the preferred to decline or whatever, because people see the resume, they hear me talk over the phone, and they see my name, they naturally think I'm Caucasian. Then this 6 foot tall nigga, you know, walks in and with baggy pants is like, oh shit, well, we can't step back now. So that's how you do that shit. So that's how you avoid being looked at as a nigga with an attitude, as opposed to,
yo. Very true, very true. And I wanted to stop and actually and say, I always feared about declining to give that information because I figured they just would fuck you off from the beginning. But then again, no one wants to deal with no nigga with no attitude. So what the fuck? When did they release the new casting for the new biopic movie?
Yeah, shouts out to all hip-hop who said that 25 years ago, Dr. Dre, Eazy-E, and Ice Cube were three of the central figures of the inaugural movement of gangster rap, which is N.W.A. And after 5 years of planning and delays, the N.W.A. biopic Straight Outta Compton finally has confirmed their first actors for the roles of the three N.W.A. leaders. Reports surfaced that Marcus Callender will play Dr. Dre, Jason Mitchell will play Eazy-E, and in accordance with Cube's wishes, his son O'Shea Jackson Jr. will play Ice Cube in the film. I think that's the illest part of it for me, because this dude that's playing Dre, I have no idea who that is. The dude that's playing Eazy-E, I really don't know who that nigga is. But
besides the nose, he don't look good. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really see it. But shouts out to motherfucking Ice Cube being the businessman that he is, and he may have just launched his fucking son's career. As the nigga doesn't quite look like Ice Cube, but his son definitely looks like a nigga in the hood and looks like he could be a dope.
He do though.
Don't he?
That's just he looked more banging than his daddy. Then yeah, again, I mean, he's in his late 40s. I mean, he's, you know, happier kind of guy, got that money.
Yeah.
But damn, his son looked thug as fuck. Like, yeah, chuck up that deuce, young man. Chuck up that deuce.
One thing
I love too, and fucking looking at the old picture of of the NWA together, Ice Cube sure as fuck did rep his own shit. He's like, I'm Ice Cube, and I don't know if he attended everybody's rhymes. I know he wrote for Eazy-E, but he pretty much was, I think, NWA.
Yeah,
he was the hardest one.
He was. And that's the reason why when he left NWA, that's the reason why NWA fell the fuck apart. Because it honestly, NWA was fucking Ice Cube. Ice Cube was the fucking genius. Dre was a genius too. But as we've seen, as Dre's career progresses, Dre is only a genius with the right sidekicks, if you will. You know, he's definitely Batman who needs his Alfred and his Robin to help him get through, you know, all his shit. Dre can't do shit by himself. And so yeah, when fucking Cube left, it definitely did break up the heart of who NWA was. And so it's dope that, yeah, he continues to be the businessman that he is, and now he's building the brand of his son. And shouts out to that. So NWA niggas with attitudes. I think John Singleton is the director for this movie.
Yeah, that's gonna be a big deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal. So Boys in the Hood Part 2.
Fucking hell, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I ain't mad at that at all. I'm excited, actually. I'm more excited for whatever the fuck they get down to making this Tupac movie, but apparently that shit won't even start even pre-production until next year, so fucking hell.
Yeah, so, and I'm excited about that, because, like I said, the dude that's in control of putting it together, I worked with him for about a month or so during my little stint in Hollywood, and when I first heard that they were doing a Tupac movie, I was hoping they wasn't going to rush it out to try to make some anniversary or some shit like that and just hurry up and throw some shit out. I like that it looks like they're spending some time on it. And from what I heard, LT is working closely with Pac's mom to make sure Pac's mom approves of everything. And so, yeah, both of those movies I'm excited about. I think both of those have the capacity to be good and be classics and truly represent the art form and the people and, you know, the both sides of the extreme of their characters. And so I'm excited. And actually with this NWA thing, I hope it really does break down all the shit splitting, and I hope it covers when Eazy-E passed away from AIDS and all that and how that changed the hip-hop community. And I hope they touch on all that shit, because I'm excited for both of them to see what the fuck is going on.
Yeah. Right on. Good luck.
Yeah.
Now on to bitches with attitude. I mean, yeah. You entitled this female empowerment, right?
Yeah. So I guess you can consider this the this week in empowered women series. A few articles with some. And the first one comes from Pam, who people may remember from the TV series Martin. Went in on French Montana. Now maybe you can help me with this, because I don't understand. Her comeback was epic, but I don't social media or making open communications or taking open communication to a new level. But people seem to forget that this openness means everyone sees what you do. Taking point, French Montana posted the following picture of Tichina. I always hated fucking her. That ratchet ass name, but fucking Tichina Arnold, aka Pam from the beloved show Martin. It's a French posted picture that says, I wish Martin could see this right now, he would tear her ass up. Now, is he making fun of her hairline? Is that what he's joking on?
Honestly, it looks weird as fuck, though. Actually, while you were still talking about the biopic thing, I was looking at the, because I didn't get to take a look at the picture. And even though I shamefully follow French Montana, and I think it was because, I think maybe I did stop following, because I started getting tired of seeing the fucking post bullshit with fucking Rick Ross, and I was like, same old shit. But he does have some humorous shit, and goddamn, that fucking picture, brother. And mind you, I usually prefer my bitches pale, and I like them with them dyke cuts, but this looks like some sort of fucking samurai, dyke, old lady, black bitch, like, I don't know what the fuck to call it. It's crazy, though, and I know, as far as what he's saying, though, it's true. Fucking Martin Lawrence would have fucking tore ass a new one, and would have fucking roasted her, for sure, right?
Yeah, he definitely would have. And what I find funny is that she in return roasted this nigga. Now, bear with me, folks. This is a little lengthy, but you guys do need to hear all of this. She posted a picture of French Montana on her Instagram. Said, "Man, oh man, Mr. Montana, I perused through your Instagram profile description, pictures and posts. But despite my determined effort, I still don't have a clue to one very simple question. Who are you? I mean, other than reading that you dated a Kardashian and you seem to enjoy taking extraneous pictures with legitimate celebrities, I'm baffled, perplexed, confused as to who you are and what actually it is you do. How do you contribute to society? What do you do to help those in need? What philanthropic works have you done?" Yeah, I never could say that fucking word. Are you on board of any charitable organizations? Do you possess your own charitable organization? Do you own your name? How many of your followers are actually real followers and not computer generated? Oh, and one other thing. If you're going to post or repost things about other people, such as myself, FYI, maybe you should put more effort into aligning yourself with people who can assist you with building your brand for longevity. Only then will you be prepared to, as your boy Martin was so clearly put it, stomp with the big dogs. But either way, I'm pleased to know you're a true fan of the Martin Show despite what criticisms you have. Your continued support is proof that over 30 years I have contributed something of value on television to many people, including yourself, in many generations and hopefully more to come. Hit me up and maybe I could hook you into individuals who have serious inquiries regarding hiring you. I just need to know what exactly it is you are selling, because unfortunately I still don't know. Keep your head up and God bless, Tichina. Oh, and one more thing, if you know, and she goes on to promote some of her own shit. But yo, she got that nigga ass, and I must say, if I was somebody who's outside of the hip hop world, I myself too would be like, what the fuck does French Montana, like, who is he? Like, he's the perfect hang on a celebrity's coattails to try to look popular himself. So, I don't know.
All I know is he perfectly executed not only most black stereotypes, and we'll kind of gear more towards Little John's and most people from Atlanta's fucking term of phrase, which since being in call centers, brother, and having to cater to people in the South, never have I heard such annoying motherfuckers going, "Hey!" And he fucking cashed in on that catchphrase or fucking ad lib or whatever you want to call it. And that's what he does. Honestly, he doesn't fucking make music. He doesn't produce. I know he rambles some certain shits, and yeah. I think I ain't gonna lie. I enjoyed a chorus or two of his, but besides that, it's like that token A-Rap guy they just fucking bring in to kind of give the fucking the Habubu scene some fucking legitimacy. I don't think he's shit. Honestly, don't. I fucking hated him for the longest.
And he's the hip hop version of Famous in 12. Have you heard of Famous in 12?
Mm-mm.
Not to go on too much about them, but there's some new reality show called Famous in 12, and there's this group of hood rats.
Sounds like 15 Minutes with the Fame, motherfuckers.
Yeah, and basically what they're doing is the show is 12 weeks long, and they're hoping to become famous within 12 weeks. And so they're filming the reality show every week a new episode comes out. And then also in the meantime, they keep like photo bombing people, like they keep popping up on TMZ, because wherever TMZ is, they wait till a celebrity comes out, then they hop in the pictures. And so like they've been doing a whole bunch of ratchet shit. It's just French Montana kind of
hoes or these dudes?
No, it's some hoes. It's some black women. It's some fucking Negro bedwinches, if you will. But it kills me because it's kind of the same thing with French Montana. Like, this nigga doesn't have a real legitimate hit. So anytime Puff is doing something or Rick Ross is doing something, oh, let me go hang with y'all niggas. So, oh, look at me. I'm stunting. And so.
Bottle. Oh, one of the fucking lines I hate the most, and I know I've ranted about this before. Bottle after bottle. Like I said, fuck my kidneys. Motherfucker, fucks with your goddamn liver, you dumb ignorant, not even a nigger, dumb nigger motherfucker, like,
Pick up a book, nigga, that's all.
Cocaine. Oh, man, I remember seeing it, I'm pretty sure, there's a certain point, man, I was stuck on Vlad shits, and I remember 50 was talking, I don't know if it might have been on Vlad shit or on This Is 50, but I remember 50 talking shit about him, about saying he's like, since back in the day from his cocaine cowboy series or whatever, that he's like I can tell what he wanted to do, he's like, but he's been a dick rider ever since. He just found his niche, and you know what I'm saying, fucking finally got in there. I believe that shit.
I can't call it. And something else I can't call is, did you click on this Nets article? I'm all about empowering women. You know, I would never go as far.
Oh, God. Wait. Menstrual blood in these streets?
No, I will never go as far as calling myself male feminist. You know, I believe in women equality and all that, but this is just too goddamn far.
There's a cute little dyke.
I can't get past the blood.
But holy
fuck. Apparently, let's see if it says where this is. Scroll up a little. It says, fed up with the shame surrounding their periods, the Spanish
scares me.
Selective. How do you pronounce that? Sangre Monstruel? I don't know. They it says that they took over.
For some reason, I kind of backed out initially.
Oh, was it too much for you? I think it was too much.
But, shit. Sangre. Yeah, all right, I'll click. But it was fed up with the shame surrounding their periods. The Spanish performance collective, Sangre Menstrual, which sangre being blood and menstrual also, it's kind of, I think it's a play on words. Menstrual, obviously being dealing with the bitch's menstrual cycle, and menstrual meaning the showcasing of. Which I think it's actually pretty, that's a pretty fucking dope name. Fucking, it's like the Bloody Pussy Collective. Fuck. It's just they took over the public streets. Of white pants stained with menstrual blood. This performance artwork was politically motivated as a group writes in their manifesto for the visibility of their periods. The taboo surrounding menstruation serves to oppress women and reinforce
patriarchal.
We can't fucking read systems.
Yeah. I didn't go to college, so I'm not even going to front. Yeah, they
wow. They seem like they're having fun though. Like I remember always seeing commercials for tampons and fucking in Tampax, whatever the shit that fucking that holds up all the icky juices that the Lord wanted the fucking bless them with. I remember in other commercials they'd be fucking riding horses and laughing and jogging and playing games. I think this is the truest fucking example of not giving a fuck. White pants and all, fucking bloody as hell, looking really happy, fucking playing catch with your fellow bitches.
And this it's a bit much for me. Like I've never been like the scared of period blood. Like I've bought in pads and, you know, tampons for my lady friends.
Tampons, that was a word.
But this is just a bit too fucking much. Like, don't nobody want to see that shit.
You know what though, and I have my good and bad about that. Obviously, who the hell wants to deal with a bitch when she's on her period? Don't nobody like having to deal with someone who's, you know what I'm saying, what's the term of phrase when they're being real bitchy? We call it
PMSing.
Fuck. Yeah, when they're PMSing or whatever, which they say is a urban myth, but no, that's the shit. When you have cramps the way bitches be having cramps, I'd understand why you're being a cunt. Please believe I'm not me for it. I understand. I understand. I just don't like how most bitches don't want to get it in when it's that time of the month. I figure that's the most liberating. That's the time we can go raw. You don't got to worry about getting pregnant.
Put this towel down.
Free. Let's get free. You know what I'm saying? Put this towel down. Don't ruin the good cover sheets. You know what I'm saying? Because I just washed it. But let's put this towel down. Let's have ourselves a ball. But one thing I really can't fucking stand, though, mind you, I'm a Latin heavyset male, so I'm pretty sure my dick, I got that stanky dick. But goddamn, one thing I really do not like, though, is the fucking smell, though, of fucking when someone's menstruating. And shit, peep this out. I fucking left my, I'm putting my sis on blast right now. But I guess this must have been. And usually, I'm pretty well aware when a girl's on it. I don't know why. I think part of that primitive male in me, I can sniff a bitch out, just kind of like I can sniff a dyke from a fucking a quarter mile away.
Like
I have that thing when it goes on her thing, and usually it's not even like it smells, you know, too terribly bad, but usually you can kind of get it. Anyways, whatever. I left some clothes. I left some clothes at this bitch's house, and which you should just never do. But I wanted them washed. You know what I'm saying? I left them in the closet. You know, they're whatever. I come back to get them, not even realizing I take them home. And I'm realizing, I'm like, and I hadn't had a, you know what I'm saying, a lady friend, you know, within that week's time frame. So like, all right, well, whatever. And I'm getting a whiff. I'm like, I'm thinking, did that bitch fucking sneak into my place? And because like, I felt like a fucking goddamn detective. I was like,
where's this going on?
And I shit you not, man. I was like, you know what I mean? You fucking put your finger, you lick your finger, put it in the air, you can kind of feel what the wind's blowing. I was like doing this, and I'm kind of just like getting the sense of the, like, I'm fucking kind of feeling the chi and shit. And I felt it kind of go towards my closet. Look, and I kind of go up there and I creep and I feel like I'm kind of just fucking open it up, and like in it, the clothes that I just hung out, like I fucking, like in the quickness, I fucking pulled them all out, like in one little thing. I never struck so fast. I felt like a fucking, like I felt, it was like similar to like grabbing a grasshopper with fucking chopsticks. I was like, and it ranked, and I was like, God damn, that was the last time I leave fucking clothes at a bitch's house. Look what happened! Ah! It brought it home and it stenched. Ah, God, and then of course, I got blamed for, you know what I'm saying, for seeing bitches. I'm like, well, why does it smell? I'm like, fucking wasn't, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, but yeah, that stench is horrible, and that's all I could think about when I see a bitch walking down the street like that. Like, even though, I don't know how that's empowering, but
I don't know. I mean,
it makes me want to fucking wear my goddamn tidy whites with the shit stains out of them and fucking walk the damn streets and fucking tell them, hey, I'm in power of my stuff. Somebody give me some bleach, bitch.
And this Nets article, which you could take too, is another example of women being empowered. What's going on with the free the titty, free the nipple? What is this? Going on?
Ah, I remember the. Oh, that's the one article that you kept, huh? Bastard. But you know what? And actually, you can pull it up. I remember, and I've been off of Facebook for a while, but I remember when I saw this article. You know, nigga loves titties. I was like, whoo, nipples? They're for free. And on Facebook, should I reactivate my account? What's going on? But apparently, I remember it being banned at one point because. And I started laughing actually. I should pull up the article. I remember laughing my ass off when I read it. About how they talked about how, and I know, and this one thing that I love about Facebook, and especially most of, oh God, and I know I talk a lot of shit about the ladies, please believe, I love women with passion, I'm a non-less boy, I love and I nurture and I give and everything else, but one thing that I know women so fucking well, I know what kind of hateful bitches they are, and with the fucking online powers that they have, I know how they hate and how they stalk. And actually, really quickly, I mean, I gotta go on this tangent, brother, because I remember telling you about some shit about these whole shit work with fucking supervisors, man, and all that. I'm telling you about that shit, right? I kinda got hit in the crossfires because I snitched on myself and I fucking.
Yeah, we're talking about the ISO
thing. Yeah, not to even bring it. Yeah, alright, yeah. So not even to fucking to bring up too much more stuff out, but it's still lingering around. Kind of like how a bitch's fucking bloody ass fucking panties, you know, if you fucking put it in the hamper, that shit's still gonna stink. It don't matter fucking, no matter how deeply buried it is fucking under a shitload of other shitted ass panties, like, it's still gonna stink. And that's kind of what happened with this situation. Anyways, I was yapping with this bitch, and she kind of hurt being hurt and fucking hurt. Because every bitch wants to be flirted with. They don't want to. Yeah. Women complain about not wanting to be fucking seen as sexual objects, but a bitch loves it when you flirt with them anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, they love the attention. Remember, I'd ignored one because I know that's one thing I do, and I really don't showcase it. So I have a lovely voice. Bitches love it, of course, naturally. But, yeah, anyways, whatever. Just complain, just bullshit. And it reminded me, this girl that she was talking shit about, just talk, because women, they love to hate on one another, and I love hating in general, but they love hating on one another, and she was talking about how this bitch has no life, and it reminds me, yes, bitches have no life, and they will fucking Facebook stalk, make a fake profile, and try to do this, and whoop-de-whoop. Once again, I just love how in this article, it says about, want to share the miracle of life and post pictures of yourself breastfeeding your new baby on Facebook? Want to rub it in that bitch Cindy's face from high school so that has no offspring, and remind her how she's all alone by showcasing your nipple? it just perfectly executed how bitches are, man, and how petty they are, and you know, all this bullshit. But yeah, pretty much apparently it was banned. You know, we want to originally Facebook was to share life and to show, yeah, you know, how we're living truly, and I guess it was banned, but now they brought it back. All I know is I laughed at that part and left it at that, and they're allowing you to show your titties now on Facebook, which
all bad.
Really quickly to take away from this article, and I'm in excitement mode right now. I had posted a picture on Instagram, bro.
I said all these titties. How can you not be excited?
All these titties. But really quickly, I'm gonna turn gay real fast about not talking about titties. And I remember I posted a picture of a bitch taking a dick to the head, and Travi was the only one who nailed it. Did you ever get to see that picture?
I don't think it was
this white bitch that I wish to say it was my dick that was pressed against it. It was on IG. It got deleted though. I didn't delete it. People probably think he deleted the picture. No, Instagram sent me a fucking email telling me that something that I sent was going beyond the fucking, what happened?
Oh no, I said fucking IG's hating. I bet it's still on Tumblr though.
Yeah, it definitely is on Tumblr if you go to Tumblr. I definitely made sure I posted on there. But you can show anything on Tumblr. I could show my goddamn cock and balls on Tumblr and call it fucking art. Anyways, this post was supposed to be artistic. It didn't get as many likes as I wish it would have gotten automatically, but it's because your boy didn't put a hashtag game on there to make sure that it would have generated what it needed to. But it got a shitload of comments. And people were hating on that shit big time in the comments section. Anyways, they reported it. It got deleted. Obviously, a man can't show his shit and have that be artistic, but a bitch can show her titty. And mind you, I'm not mad. I'm not hating.
I know people are offended by dicks. You could always look at it as when it comes to titties, men like looking at titties and women don't have a problem looking at titties. But don't
because
nobody,
they want them.
Yeah, don't nobody want to see a dick. Like women, yeah, nobody want to see a dick.
Kind of to go back to the movie, I think it was on Bridesmaids, they talked about how the dick is too aggressive looking. It's too powerful. Exactly. It's like it's coming at you. You know what I mean? Which... It literally then comes at you if you play with it for too long. But
and the vagina is just shy. It's just laying down, you know.
You kind of have to.
In your face.
Yeah, penis in your face. It's there to do some damage. It's gonna offend you. A pussy is kind of. It can either be gross or it kind of be like an onion. You just want to unravel and you know eventually allow the scent to bring you to tears. But
yeah.
Apparently, Facebook is letting nipples back in it. I don't know. I feel like I kind of diverted too much from that story. Forgive me.
You know, and adding to that, I guess one person whose dick they probably wouldn't mind seeing is this fucking convicted felon thing, which kind of adds to all of
this. Oh, dude, that fucking Jeremy Meeks?
Is that, yeah, that's his name.
Oh, no, I was going to say, because I was kind of doing some online searches too, and that story had came up. And I was like, I didn't know that they fucking, that this dude who, I mean, I'll let you kind of talk more about him, but apparently for whatever the fuck he got arrested for, was it Grand Theft Auto or some bullshit, which obviously gets dude's attention, goes, hey, I played that game. Oh, that's an actual crime?
Look what I do.
And fucking, but yeah, apparently, and mind you, any fucking little story can get a few little likes, and just like anything else, you put a pretty enough of a fucking face, and it's going to get people's attention. People are going to fucking create a fucking fan pages. And what was this?
I know, yeah, because it says a convicted felon's mugshot has drawn the attention of a lot of ladies on Facebook. Police in Stockton, California posted this mugshot of Jeremy Meeks, 30, on their official Facebook page. Meeks was one of four men arrested this week on felony weapon charges during a gang violence and robbery crackdown. Since his mugshot was posted on Facebook, it's generated nearly 23,000 likes and 6,000 comments. The majority of the comments have been from women who say Meeks is extremely attractive. It says, some chick said it's against the law to look this fine. We should start a petition. Free Meek, Jeremy Meeks. He is too attracted to be behind bars. Can we pull a full body shot? He needs to join a modeling agency when he gets out. Like, the thirst is real. These bitches came out from woodworks and just, wow, his vagina's just wet, just geeking all over this nigga. And so, women step their game up. You know, they show their titties, they show their menstrual blood, and they are showing that they're not afraid to be thirsty. It's real out here in these streets.
Damn, the power of the pussy. Beyonce, as much as I hate the bitch, she was in line when pussy ruled this motherfucker. It really does.
And I do blame Beyonce. Ever since that fucking Sasha Fierce 4 album or whatever, and she's empowering women, these bitches are getting out of control. But that's exactly what the fuck is going on.
Y'all hoes have run amok. And it kind of goes to show you that truly a pretty face can erase all sins. Because, I mean, this motherfucker could have killed a man on his way to trying to steal this fucking car and done what he had to do. And the article talks about him not being proud of his past, but yet we're glorifying him for what he's done. And you know what I'm saying? Saying it's okay because he's so goddamn pretty. And then this gets to show all the little young bitches that are growing up that it's okay if you're ratcheting, do all this bullshit, because if you're pretty, people will like you. And if you like it, you'll be popular. And then it goes on to talk about how his mama made a fucking, was some kind of donation shit. So of course these hoes are gonna donate, probably even send their soiled panties in hopes that it'll fucking add to the contribution of being able to free this man, because he's just too sexy to have behind bars.
And it's funny because I do think that attractiveness does play a role in life and success, if you will. Because it's kind of the same thing. Like, I know it's different on the East Coast, but like out here in Arizona, especially, like, public transportation is a bitch. Like, you need a car. You need your own vehicle out here in Arizona. And in saying that, anytime you have ever caught the bus or anything like that, how many model looking chicks do you see on the bus? Like, no, it's normally the busted ass bitches.
And fucking Hunchback of Notre Dame, sort of fucking, what the hell is this?
And so it does say something about attractive faces and HR people. Oh, that's a pleasant face. I wouldn't mind seeing that every day. I'm going to hire this person. As opposed to, oh, shit, you only got 3.5 teeth. Like, you know what? I think you need to be catching a bus and not working at more organizations. So shit is wild.
Yeah. But once again, it lets you know how fucking where we are in a society. And that's the pretty good thing if you're pretty. And it explains my misfortunes. That's for sure.
So you're still winning. So you're at least middle class, if you will. Not on the bottom like the rest of these motherfuckers.
Yeah, sure. It makes me want to just beat niggas up, get a real rampage, and start swinging. I don't know if that kind of brings anything forward to the next category, next story.
It does kind of take us to the Nets article. I'm a big MMA fan. Not big enough where I order the events, but like if there's an MMA fight, maybe, you know, someone like my Boo Thang, Ronda Rousey, I'll run up to Tilted Kilt to go ahead and watch me a MMA pay-per-view fight. But one of the dudes that I have been fucking with for the past couple years, Uriah Faber, I don't know what weight class he's in, but he's one of the smaller guys, like under 200 pounds. He's probably like in the 150, 160 range. He is starting a new extreme sport, which is called full contact skydiving. Now, did you get a chance to click on this link to watch this shit?
I'm actually kind of going through the video now. Just you saying full contact skydiving, am I assuming that we're fighting as we're flying down?
Yes. So these guys are skydiving. They jump out. They pop out at the same time. A ref pops out shortly afterwards. And they have a full contact fight as they are falling to the motherfucking ground. This is the wildest shit I've ever fucking seen.
That is fucking dope. I've never been so excited. Because you know what? Honestly, I think, I forget what movie it was. I think it's been touched on in some action movies. I want to say it was done in a 007 movie.
Yeah.
I want to say there's another movie where they're flying down from a fucking airplane and he's beating the fuck out of somebody. Like, that in real life would be dope to fucking see. And
yeah,
with our technology.
Like shit, yeah. Oh, no, go ahead. Yeah.
So, I'm not saying anything. I'm fucking pacing back and forth because I actually got some pretty amp. Like, I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew, son. I'm just like, I want to get turned up. I want to fucking fly out the goddamn airplane and start fighting to the death.
See, and it's funny. because the only thing I could think of watching is, like, I've always wanted to go skydiving, but it's still not safe enough, where it's still too many casualties that happen for me. You know, I'm gonna be the nigga that doesn't make it out the opening credit. So it's like, I don't know if I'm gonna do it just yet. But if these motherfuckers have skydiving down as so much so to a science that you could be beating the shit out of each other while you, like, I wanna go skydiving with these niggas. Like, y'all can go fight over there. I wanna enjoy the skydiving aspect of it. But this is some wild shit, yo. These niggas is dead serious. Now, the only thing I could think of is, like, what if you catch a nigga with a full elbow to, like, the bridge, and you, like, bust dude's shit, like, open? Like, is he gonna be able to breathe while he falling? Like, this sounds like someone has to die in this scenario. I'm just saying.
I was gonna say, because what if he gets knocked out and then he's knocked out, he doesn't get a fucking turn, open up his parachute? Like, I mean, then again, that is pretty badass, and that would make me want to watch more, because if I know there's gonna be death, then all the more is that exciting, I would think, no?
And this might go...
Because what happens if you get knocked out and you fucking... You're only so many feet from the fucking ground. Like, when do you stop fighting? Is that what the ref does? Does he tell you, hey, we're about 100 feet upon impact. Like, it's about time y'all put your chute tight now. And the fucking one dude's fucking dead, fucking falling.
Yo, what eventually is going to happen, you're going to get two badass John Bone Jones type motherfuckers who are going to be going at it, and the ref is going to be caught and telling them that, you know, bail, it's over, and these motherfuckers is going to keep fighting, and they're going to fight to see which one's going to be the pussy that pulls the string first. Like,
yes.
Oh, nigga, you tapped out, you pulled the string first. Like, there's no way this ends well. Like, this does not sound like a good idea. I don't know. But
that's the ultimate game of chicken, though, I think.
Yeah, we're getting closer and closer to the Roman days of the gladiators fighting to the death. Instead of lions, we're hopping out of motherfucking airplanes. We're just incorporating technology and the shit. So, welcome back.
Fuck your joust, son.
Fuck your joust.
Fuck your joust. You pussy motherfucker.
That shit's wild, yo. So, I can't call it. And, speaking of other shit that I can't call, Facebook. Going back over to the good old FB, these niggas is getting wild, yo. Like, we talked about it a couple episodes ago, how much information that they're getting on us and everything that you
buying, selling.
Yeah, like, even to this day, like, you, and it's a gift and a curse with it, because, like, I hop on Facebook and I see that they the little ads on the side are more tailored for you, and so it does help, because I see some shit, oh, you know, I might be interested in that TV show, or oh, I might be interested.
Do you actually click on those ads, though? I've never clicked on a fucking ad.
Not really, but it's starting to get to the point, the ones that are popping up in the feed, they're getting so...
Does it influence you, though?
Me. It's starting to be like, oh, that's some shit I would legitimate take a look at. Like, it used to be just ads, like, just random shit, but now it's like, yeah, Facebook knows who the fuck I am. I'm like, shit, I don't want to click on it, but yeah, that does kind of apply to me, so. But Facebook is going to take it one step further, and they want to know what kind of smut you're looking at, because apparently, Facebook will now know if you're browsing for smut, because they're pushing the idea that is offering for tighter ad controls to its users, just as its preparers are starting to target the web and app browsing habitats of citizens in the U.S. It basically says that this new Facebook campaign is that, come on, get to the fucking point. This company is basically mining the data tucked away in the user's browsing history, because many companies already do this. The Free Contact Ad Network said in a blog post that Facebookers would hate the idea of yet more intrusive advertisers that switch the feature off via the industry standard, whatever Alliance app. But basically what they're going to be doing is your browsing history, even if you keep it empty, they're going to be digging into that shit and seeing every fucking thing that you look at. So when you're checking out BBW porn and then you're clearing that out the browser, so, you know, your girlfriend doesn't see it, Facebook still knows that you like them big women, and you're going to start getting some of them chubby, them plumper posts or whatever popping up on your Facebook. Like, I know you like them big women, so why don't you take a look at this event?
Yo, honestly, this is kind of where I tell you where I have no idea if what the hell I'm doing, that the shit that supposed to be catered to me is so far from what the fuck I'm trying to go to. Because I, obviously, the biggest, you know, us being a conspiracy theory, us being not wanting to click on shit, me not wanting to click on ads. Like, I look at some of the shits and, you know, mind you, okay, yeah, motherfucker looks at porn, cool. why are you showing me fat black bitches if I like skinny white hoes? I don't get it. Why? What are you trying to make me do?
Trying to bring you to the dark side.
I mean, I'm just like, fuck, I figure whatever sort of, I can't think of the word, formula that they use, whatever algorithm fucking formula that it takes to fucking calculate whatever the fuck my mind is supposedly catered to. Like, y'all couldn't have had this formula any more fucked up. Like, this, y'all have me fucked up and y'all would never have me click on anything. Y'all will have my information and it'll take you nowhere because I'm schizophrenic. Like, I'm sorry. Yo, niggas is dumb. Sorry, Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, cocking ass.
It says the company's main strategy appears to be to slurp data from even more detailed profile of its 1.25 billion users. And it means that people who don't like the advertiser-friendly like button can now expect to see more behavioral ads as they stalk their chums on Facebook. It says that Facebook confirmed it will ignore the do not track mechanism in browsers, including IE. And they reported, however, it will apparently respond favorably to ad tracking limitation settings on Google's Android and Apple's iOS. Which is funny because all three of these companies are in bed with each other. Fucking Google, the iPhone, fucking Facebook. They're all in bed together. That's the reason why, like, you go back to the Facebook or the MySpace days, like, MySpace was popping and they eventually fell off because, you know, some new and shiny came out, but there's not room for anything new and shiny to come out because now Facebook is a part of our lives. Like, you know, you could post your resume through Facebook, you could join any other website through Facebook, you could post your likes, and just Facebook is a part of what is the internet now. And
it's life.
It's scary. Yeah.
I got really pissed when the fucking job application website said, "Wanna log in through Facebook?" Fuck
no!
Why would I want to do that? I don't even want to use my LinkedIn, but they already fucked up and created that bitch. Like, damn. Fucking ridiculous. But you know what though, and that's another thing too, it makes me really wonder, like, do I just need to throw away my goddamn laptop? Like, is this shit fucked? Because if that kind of information tracks on, and mind you, this is one of the biggest things. We need to hurry up and fucking get famous on the internet already, so I don't gotta worry about going to a goddamn interview for a goddamn corporation that's gonna look at the shit that I look at and fucking judge me for. Because honestly, my personal life has nothing to do with my professional life. You know what I mean? But, apparently they feel like whatever sort of quadratic, what's the name of the formula again?
The algorithm formula
apparently knows us to a T, and that's some damn bullshit.
It's funny because I do say the whole thing, like, we kind of already lost. Like, even if you delete your Facebook, if you throw away your laptop and all that, the data is still there. You just don't have access to the data anymore. It's the same thing with, like, that's why I'm just cautious of what I click before I post something, because I could delete it, but it's still on their server, so it's still a record that I said that. So yeah, you can run away from it, but they still got all the info. It's still there.
Fuck you, cloud. Fuck you very much.
It is wild. And speaking of fuck you very much, I'm pretty sure this woman in Seattle felt that way after she realized that a Seattle doc was suspended for sexting during his surgeries. Apparently, this anesthesiologist actually said sexually explicit.
That's a multitasking motherfucker, right?
For real. He sent out dozens of sexually explicit texts dozens of times a day while he was supervising C-sections and other surgeries. He had his medical license suspended immediately. Now, this shit is wild because me being someone who has two kids and both kids came out with C-sections, I know how dangerous this shit is. Like, going back to Kai. Kai's birth was a difficult one. And, you know, our podcast listeners are family, so, you know, I can divulge this to the people. We're going to do a natural birth.
No, brand new listener will be fucking this knee deep into our fucking podcast.
you should know us by now. Fucking when Skips had Kai, the original game plan was to have it vaginally. We wanted Kai to come out regular, and part of the reason, because I'm a cheap bastard, and it's cheaper when the baby comes out the vagina as opposed to C-section, it costs more money coming out the stomach. So we're like, no, Kai's coming out of your vagina. He ain't got no choice. I'm sorry. But leading up to it, umbilical cord got wrapped around his neck twice, and his heart kept dropping. It got kind of real stressful, and so they were like, we had to do an emergency C-section to get him out, to get the thing, you know, from around his neck and all that. So I could just imagine us going through that shit. You're a new parent, this is your first child, you're already going through all this fear because, oh, is the baby gonna be okay and healthy when he comes out? And now he has the umbilical cord wrapped around his neck, and oh my god, we gotta hurry up and get over here to get him out. And meanwhile, the fucking doctor is, hey girl, let me see them tits. If you go, oh yeah, yeah, I got the baby, don't worry about it. Yeah, I'm just getting the second not, you know, undid. But oh girl, what about them titties, yo? Let me get a vagina shot. You shave? Like, I couldn't believe, like, nigga, you don't do that. Certain things you don't do at work. Just nigga. I don't know.
Yeah. Then again, I feel kind of hypocritical because I'm talking to this girl who works in she does, I forget what it's called, where is it where bitches get their titties checked at for cancer?
Mammogram place.
Whatever the fuck, but yeah. Mammogram, yeah, some kind of radiation, whatever the fuck. Anyways, I'd be asking for some titty shots, and the bitch complies because she knows not to fuck with pop. So, I mean, I don't know. But yeah, either which way, though, that's not safe, that's not good, and yeah, man, I don't know. What else would they fucking be doing while these bitches are fucking are out and looped up? I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, and they say that he sent a total of 64 texts during 7 different surgeries. So this nigga was, like, deep in the game. This wasn't just one time he was trying to get his rocks off. No, this nigga was deep in the game. And many of them had sexual innuendos. One said that I'm hella busy with a C-section, and the respondent's lack of focus on patient care while providing anesthesia services for hospital-based surgical procedures routinely fell below the standards of care and put patients at unreasonable risk of harm. So yeah, this nigga was not playing. Like, it ain't no game, yo. Trying to get this pussy, it is not a game out here, yo.
Like having complications, this bitch is fucking bleeding out her fucking twat. I'm going to talk to you later. TTYL.
Yo, this says
selfie, sad face. I'm real. I'm fucking knee deep in some fucking splunk right now for placenta face.
Yo, it says this nigga sent color selfies to the patient depicting himself in hospital shrubs, wearing his hospital badge, and exposing his genitalia. Like, this nigga was dead serious, yo.
Hey,
yo, it's really
I didn't go to I didn't have to sterilize these shits for nothing, son.
Sterilize these nuts, ho. What's that mouth do? That shit is wild, yo. So I can't fault it.
Oh god! Like I said, I don't think anything is safe in this world. Obviously, we text while driving. I mean, if you're lame in the sacks, you bitch gonna be texting while you fucking. Like, oh, I'm gonna be there in a little bit.
Yeah, this nigga almost done.
This nigga almost done. I went one way. That's a dedicated bitch for you, though.
I know. And speaking of other shit that I can't call, in fucking St. Louis, this Archbishop said that he didn't know sex with children was a crime, which may explain a lot of the pedophilia, which unfortunately goes on in some Catholic churches. But apparently this St. Louis Archbishop, embroiled in a sexual abuse scandal, testified last month that he didn't know in the 1980s whether it was illegal for priests to have sex with children, according to a court deposition that just came out. The dude, who name is Robert Carlson, and was the chancellor of Arco something of Minneapolis and St. Paul at the time, and a video released by the St. Paul law firm Jeff Anderson Associates, the Catholic Archbishop is asked whether he had known it was a crime for adults to engage in sex with children. He says, I'm not sure whether I knew it was a crime or not. When asked when he first realized it was a crime for an adult to have sex with a child, he shook his head and said, I don't remember.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's also real in these pubes out here in a fucking Catholic church. These boys is playing with booties, but maybe it's just simple ignorance. They didn't know it was illegal. Maybe they would have stopped. So,
I mean, then again, they should make it more clear. I mean, then again, where I have no idea. That just sounds fucking retarded. It kind of just goes into this sort of thing, and this is kind of where I feel like, damn, like, I hate they're having that stigma that kind of God forgives, because obviously he does, but it's kind of like, where the fuck does that execute into that? I mean, it should be fucking pretty. I don't even know. I don't even know what to say to these certain things. That's just fucking retarded.
That is one of those things where some people take religion too far in the sense of that, oh, I just need to ask for forgiveness and then it's okay. It's okay. I keep fucking all these kids in the ass, but as long as I ask for forgiveness and, you know, I pray for my sins to Jesus, then it's okay. All this fucked up shit that I do. And, I don't know.
I guess if you want to be biblical, though, it doesn't say anywhere in there you can't fuck little boys in the booty hole.
I think there weren't there some.
Actually, yeah, there was no such gay fucking, and if anything, fucking Peter in the New Gospel made sure to fucking wreak havoc in New Romans about how gay sex is fucking terrible. But I mean, and that seems like one of those common sense sort of things, like shit there. But then again, like back in the day, I mean, what, they used to be able to sell off their kids, they'd be married by 10 and fucking, you know what I'm saying, have kids by 11, so I mean.
There are still societies who are going on side by side with us today where people still do that shit. So, like, it ain't no fucking surprise. And it is wild because I know I've always said a lot of it, and I think the reason why it happens so much within the Catholic Church, I don't think it's that the Catholic Church is worse than any other church. No, it's nothing like that. I think it just comes down to within Catholic cultures, if you will, there's a mass stigma within the church over sex, where the priests and the archbishops and all that, they're not supposed to have sex, you're not supposed to masturbate, nothing like that. So you get a lot of these pent-up aggressions, and you are surrounded by these little altar boys who are working with you, and eventually they can't control themselves, and they start taking advantage of those little boys. I think it's a direct result of the religious practice of telling the men to go against your natural desires to have sex or release sperm, and that's the reason why they get. And I think that's the reason why this shit keeps happening.
Yo, real talk, that's exactly how I feel it is. And that's something that pisses me off. And I don't know how the hell it stands. I guess, and mind you, don't quote me on this, but I know there was some scripture that talked about how it's better for man to be alone than, even though we're originally told that it's not good for man to be alone. That's why God made us for two. And even in Greek theology, we're originally fucking born with four arms, four legs, all that bullshit, and it's just God's way of splitting us in half and finding our better half or whatever the hell like that. But one of the newer scriptures, it talks about how, and it's real talk, but it talks about how it's better to pretty much be single than it would be than to be married or to be with a lover, because then all of a sudden not only do you have to accommodate for yourself, but you have to accommodate for this other person. So not only are you living for yourself, you have to live for this other person. Which, mind you, can contradict things. It can allow you to have to make really, really tough decisions, because now, instead of thinking semi-selfishly, well, now you're being selfish for two, because now, I don't know, you have someone to protect, kind of like how it's not really good to have your spouse or your significant other in the workplace, because you're going to side with them other than being fair with all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm not too sure if that scripture is what kind of led them to think that it's best for, especially people in the Pope or whatever, to be single and to not be married, which I think is dumb, because if you're going to be ruling over married couples and be counseling married couples, you figure that motherfucker want to be married so he can know what the hell he's talking about.
Exactly.
But you're right. That very thing, if you take away something, and, you know, which obviously is a God-given desire, God made us with those desires so we can love and we can produce and we can continue and spread seeds and all that good stuff. If you're gonna ignore that, then obviously that perversion is gonna lead somewhere. And kind of how fucking in the workplace happens. I mean, when you don't see anybody else, you tend to fuck in this community because, hey, we're around each other all the time. I know you. You know me. We have this trust. We have this build. And obviously in the church, I mean, you build a spiritual connection, which starts off spiritually, and then eventually, I mean, when you deprive so much and you're in the goddamn desert, you're gonna be real thirsty, and unfortunately you're gonna drink whatever the hell you can. Mind you, that gives no excuse, but it's like playing a goddamn experiment with us, and you're begging for a fucking disaster by fucking limiting our resources that much.
Exactly.
So,
and that's what it comes down to, and that's the reason why over in the Middle East, in the places where they have the women, where you can only have your eyes out, it's that whole thing too, where they control the sexual desires, and their flip on it is that if you could hide everything except the eyes, like the bitch only needs to see where she's going. That's the only thing you need to concern yourself with.
Word.
How to get from point A to point B. And by not showing any other skin, you don't put the man in a situation to get excited to then want to fuck on something. And then if a married man does see you, throw you behind, you know, a building and fucks the shit out of you, it was your fault because you shouldn't have looked at that motherfucker like that. You brought the demon out of him, and he had to release his jizz all on you. So, bitch, why were you being sexy just then? So, it's a fucked up world, and I hate going as far as atheists do, where, you know, religion is the cause of all problems, because let's go back in time 10,000 years and let's say religion never popped up, it'd be something else we'd be fighting over. You know, we'd still fight over color, we still fight over resources, we fight over everything. Humans just fight. That's what the fuck we do. So, I don't know. And speaking of humans and more humans being on Earth, what is this article about? A Florida governor signs a late abortion bill. What's up?
Oh no, I was gonna say, because you're talking about life and there being more life. Like, we don't need that. Let's cut it right off. And apparently, Florida is onto something.
And Florida, which isn't a
surprise. Did you want to read the story?
Or yeah, you can read it. Yeah, I was just gonna say that it.
No. So you can go. If you have it, I'll go for it.
Oh, okay. It just.
I think we have a little bit of lag going on right now, so just let's
so
roll
too.
With it. Go, keep going.
Yeah, I think it's a mild lag, but it is funny because anytime there's a fucked up law, it's always Florida, Arizona, and Texas, and today no different.
We crazy, son. We half baked in this motherfucker. We overly cooked.
That's what
and way too turned.
In Texas, and then Florida, it's just too many hurricanes. Them niggas don't know how to think straight, so that's what the issue is. And apparently, out there in Florida, it says that abortions will be illegal in Florida at any point in the woman's pregnancy if her doctor determines that the fetus can survive outside the womb. Now, also says that it redefines the state's current third trimester abortion ban. Current law prohibits abortions after 24 weeks of pregnancy unless the mother's life is at risk. The new law will require women to have a doctor determine whether a fetus is viable before having an abortion. It also removes that exception of psychological trouble as exception. The law takes effect July 1st, and it keeps an exception if a mother's life is at risk or to prevent irreversible physical impairment of a mother's majorly body function. So the House overwhelmingly ruled to move forward with this, and it's still funny. At the end of the day, your average politician is a guy, and I find it funny that you have a bunch of guys making laws on what women can do with their bodies. And I think the same thing could be said about you have a bunch of white men making laws about what Mexicans and blacks in different cultures like. It's any time when you have white men, who men are, I think, the majority in the world, but they're definitely is it more women in the world? Do you know? I should look this up before I start spouting out shit that I don't know.
Who the fuck knows? I would honestly say that there's more men in the world. Or maybe I'm just thinking China, because I know they limit their bitches from being fucking pissed too often.
Let me see. Human sex ratio. I just found out. Pulled up something with the TV. Let me see if it says.
I do think that there might be more women in the world, though.
Actually, it looks like it's men, but barely. It's the sex race ratio at birth is commonly thought to be 107 boys to every 100 girls. And actually, for the entire world population, it's 101 males to every 100 females. So it's generally, it's like 50.1% of the population is men. So we're the majority, but not by that much. But when you go to who's in power, it's men are 80 to 90% of the power structure. Then when you flip it around and you look at the whole race thing, it's like Caucasians make up 20% of the world's population, but they have like 90% of the power. So you have white men who are in charge of making laws and rules and all that, but it's the majority of brown people and women who are facing the repercussions of it. And that's when you start getting weird ass fucking bills like this, where a woman is like, I can't take care of this child, I'm gonna have an abortion. And then a male doctor is like, let me see if that baby will survive, because if it survived, bitch, fuck what you're going through, you better take care of your responsibilities and take care of this child. Like, in my opinions on like abortion have completely changed as time progressed. When I was a kid, I was against it. I thought it was illegal. taken life, but now I'm completely on the opposite side. If you have a woman who doesn't want a child, she should be taking care of that child, because all she's going to do is produce a monster if she has a child that she doesn't want to take care of. So if she wants an abortion, let that bitch have her abortion, because she obviously can't take care of that damn kid. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, man, same thing. I mean, being of faith that, you know, it's labeled that it was a bad thing, but honestly, you, as much as, you know, saying fate would have it, I mean, some shit shouldn't have happened. You know what I mean? So I feel like ultimately, regardless of all that, regardless of what they can be and what they can do, may her spirit fucking drive her to make that decision or not. I mean, because obviously rape, incest, that's just not good. So, I mean, unless they're meant to be the next Christ and, you know, and whatever holds spirit to come and try to stop you, well, let that be it. But ultimately, I mean, it is a woman's decision. I mean, there's so many things that we don't have control over. Being able to not make one suffer is a whole nother thing. So, I mean, honestly, so for that very thing, and mind you, maybe it's because I one day want to become famous enough to where I can have a whole fucking a band of followers, to where I can have a dedicated cult. You know what I'm saying? Where we a la fucking Jim Jones. You know what I'm saying? Make the Kool-Aid real special and have one last little orgy before we all jump off of a cliff. Like, as much as I want that,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That very reason is why I'm gonna think. You know what? Because that's kind of my whole little realm of things. As much as I love kids, oh my god, and I love them. I love them like a fucking retard loves something shiny. Like, I love kids, I really do. And you know, you can see it every time I geek out, every time I go to your crib and I see the babies, man. Like, I fucking love them. But I just know that. Because of, I kind of, I'm not hopeless, but I'm very hopeful. Like I said, I'm of faith, but because I know how this world is and how fucked it is, I kind of like, I wouldn't want to expose that to anyone else. So for those that are in that same realm, I mean, why make anyone else suffer? Unless you fucking, you're a millionaire and you fucking, you live in paid. Yeah. And, you know, and you go live well off, but yeah, by all means. Yeah, by all means. Yeah, if you don't, if there's, yeah, fucking A. Fucking A. Let's not talk about it. Let's not talk about it. I'm gonna get real emotional. Let's not do it.
Shouts out to Hater Rossi, who was my favorite podcaster by far. He had
before we came in the scene.
Oh, you bitch.
You bitch.
Fucking, he had a special called Die Hood Rat Die, and one of the things that he talked about was how during his years in high school, it was very peaceful within the black community, and he was saying in the hoods in general, it just wasn't, crime wasn't popping like that, and you had rap was very intelligent at the time and all that, and just his generation was a very peaceful generation, and he said that, you know, it took him a long time to figure out why. He said as he got older, he sat back and he realized that his generation was the first generation after that, what is it, Roe versus Wade, when abortion became legal. And so he was the first generation of kids after abortion got legalized. And so all those women who end up getting pregnant who didn't want to have kids and they aborted all those babies, his generation came up with all those aborted babies not being in the process. And so it was a lot more of kids who had their mind straight because their parents actually wanted them. And so he was saying that he didn't run into all that trouble in fucking high school because everyone who was alive, their parents wanted them there. And all those aborted babies got aborted. But all these hood rats and hood wolves and all this shit that you see in the ghettos, the great majority of these are the results of people having babies that they didn't want to have, and they take it out on the children, or, oh, you just like your punk-ass daddy, and they take it out and they scar these kids. And these kids grow up to be your fucking future gangbangers and the motherfuckers we see on World Star Hip Hop. All the motherfuckers on World Star should have been aborted babies. Like, abort these babies if you don't want them so they don't end up on World Star.
Yeah. I mean, but then again, these bitches need these head counts so they can get that government cheese, because that's the only way you're going to be making this money. So.
And there's a part of it, too, which that adds to the reason why the black community family is so fucked up, is that back during all that welfare shit, because for people who don't know, when welfare was first invented, it was to take care of white women. Black people weren't eligible to get welfare. And then what later on happened was that women could get on welfare, but the men couldn't be in their lives. lives. It couldn't be in the children's lives. So welfare companies, they would do random checkups at like midnight or whatever, kick in your door. And if there was a nigga in there, they would pull you off your food stamps. So in a lot of these Negro bed wenches mentality, it was a lot better for them to not have any man in the house. And so if they did get pregnant, you know, make it living hell for that man, kick him out of the fucking house so they can get this government assistance and all that. Not saying that that's every case, but there are cases like that where let me get this nigga, get rid of this nigga so I can get this money so I can sit on my ass and all that. Then they got this child, you know, little Sharkeisha who's being raised, who her fucking mother doesn't want to be there or doesn't, you know, didn't want that child to begin with. She's trying to take on the mother and the father side. She's trying to be masculine and tough and all that and teach her daughter how to, you know, fuck these bitches. Don't let these bitches, you know, run over you. And then Sharkeisha grows up and knocks a bitch out and ends up on World Star. And that's a direct result of welfare and abortion. So
keeps the cycle going is what it does. And once again, it's blackface, y'all. Act real niggish for America. Tell yourself and your soul.
Speaking of something that wasn't too, isn't niggerish, even though Fox News will like you believe that it's only niggas who be in the streets shooting up shit. Since the last episode, there's been a couple more shootings, including this one, which I have to ask the question. I'm just read a little bit of this real quick, and I gotta ask you a question, Popo. For those who don't know what happened, a Las Vegas couple shot to death two police officers, a civilian, and themselves after telling a neighbor they were headed to a underground world, had an anti-government, anti-police ideology with militia and white supremacist overtones, and they went and shot some shit up. And I asked the question. This is two people with guns who would kill law enforcement agents. They have an anti-government, anti-police ideology. They're saying that the revolution has begun when they shoot this motherfucker in the back of their head. Is this not a terrorist act? If these were two Muslims who yelled Allah Akbar and then shot these cops in the back of their head, would this not be deemed a terrorist attack?
Yeah, you're fine again. You're going against the grain, and we don't like that in this society. We want you to follow.
Now, my question, though, if that is the case, then why aren't they making Obama rally up the troops and send, you know, like Bush did with the fucking Taliban? Why aren't we going after the Tea Party? Because these apparently were Tea Party members, and they have a fuck the government mentality. They shot these motherfuckers in the back of their head, yelled out the revolution has started, and Fox News does not want to talk about this shit because they're associated with the Tea Party. Once again, if this had been some black people, some black teenagers from the hood, if this had been some fucking Muslims or some brown people in general, this would have been all over Fox News, terrorism in America, because it was two lily white people who were fucking part of the Tea Party. It's just, oh, another act of violence. Oh, I mean, it's tragic. But, you know, this is an act of terrorism, even though it is an act of terrorism and it's on our own lawn. So,
well, I mean, that's exactly what it is. I mean, and it goes to show, and it was funny too, because when I was reconnecting with my old coworkers, and I was defending Glenn Beck, which I know never to fucking do, you know what I'm saying? But I have a soft spot for him, even though I know the ridiculousness. But the first thing my buddy told me was, don't fucking tell me you're a fan of Fox News. I'm like, no, brother, no, it's not that serious. Please believe, I happen to have a, you know, whatever the hell. No, I mean, it goes to show how deep it goes, you know, and they're not shy about showing their racism, and obviously, I mean, you never want to show your cards, especially the bad ones, so I mean, it's natural, but it should be noted of, you know, their cover-up, you know, obviously you never want to publicize, just like how that fucking whole feminist movement, there's a fucking reason why they made fucking, which is the tampons or the pads, right?
Tampons are the one you stick in and then
stick in. There's a reason why they made that shit, so your fucking drawers don't show the goddamn pamper that you have on your snatch. Yeah. There's a reason why we make shit discreet, because there ain't no need for the people to be knowing where our fuck-ups are.
Yo, if iTunes didn't have an explicit disclaimer on how you could title a show, the name of the show, fucking, Pamper on Snatch. Like what you just said, that is classic. Pamper on Snatch.
I'm a genius, that's all. It's just retarded. It honestly is. compliments of fucking Nassau Papo and his mental retardation. I mean, that's exactly what it is. I don't know, but there has been a whole lot of fucking, one more shooting. I don't know if it's cool to kind of switch on, and I don't know if you, and I just saw this. Is it okay? Can we move into another shooting before we kind of go into the next thing? I guess there was a show, and it's so funny that this happened in Colorado, and we kind of talked about how the rate has gone down. But, you know, fucking peace and all that good shit, that doesn't come along with hip-hop events, you know? That just peace and hip-hop events, they don't correlate. And there's recently a show in Colorado, Schoolboy Q got shot at, yo. It was a... Okay, I don't know if he was even in there now, but apparently they would have thought it was coincidence. It was Nas, Flying Lotus, whatever. But apparently there's just some article that apparently just, he was being targeted. I don't fucking know. I mean, who's Schoolboy's not a fucking an activist. He ain't a fucking Tupac in order to be too big of a fucking deal.
And yeah, it says that three people were injured in a shooting after a concert outside. And the victims all in a white SUV located nearby Denver were transported to the local hospital. Their condition unknown. According to the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office, the facility was locked down for hours while police searched for the shooter, with authorities checking concerts over his vehicle. And no one's been taken into custody. So that is crazy. Yes, niggas get bucked. Niggas get guns, and they want to do stupid shit for some unknown reason. And apparently even more than niggas, because these motherfuckers over here, these Tea Party people, and the reason why people know they were Tea Party people, because they left a Don't Tread on Me flag on them that read "The Revolution is Beginning." So you got niggas shooting up shit. You got crackers shooting up shit. Everybody except the Jews. The Jews are just sitting behind laughing.
Oh, well, they tossing bombs from across. They're fucking the Palestinians right now. They don't got time to fuck with us. That ain't shit compared to how it is that they're, I mean, it's like talking about bringing a knife to a gunfight. We're talking bombs. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's bigger than that.
Bombs,
I mean,
bad,
yeah. Fucking, come on, Outkast. Fucking hurry up. Goddamn Andre 3000 and make his fucking solo album. Shit.
Oh,
but,
I'm waiting on that more than the Detox.
Fuck the Detox. Fuck Dre with his billion-dollar ass hat. Whatever. Nigga ain't nobody. You ain't shit, Dre, but a fucking looper. You loop. You make samples. You get samples. You make them repeat.
Looper.
Fuck you. You looper. Damn, looper. But you know what, though? Actually, real talk, though, as far as those Tea Party fuckers go, and even though I'm registered the opposite route, like, like I said, I'm a Sheriff Joe fan. I feel like a goddamn Republican. If only I was fucking white. If only the Lord didn't fucking curse me with this goddamn land descent, I'd be one of the fucking the white alum. But, I love that. I mean, because honestly, without sounding too, I mean, we do need a revolt, man. We do need a fucking true V for Vendetta fucking gathering. We really do need to fight against the power, because if we were to, we'd take shit over, man, but we're too goddamn consumed by bullshit. And too lazy.
Yeah, and that is an unfortunate thing. The revolution is there for anyone to take it, you know, and it goes back to the whole, I've had conversations with people where they're like, oh, well, you know, I don't really get into sharing all that information or talking about this or talking about that, because what can one person do? And honest truth is, one person can do a lot. One person could change everything. Being African-American, Martin Luther King, and of course he wasn't one person, but Martin Luther King, being one man in himself, did a lot to the civil rights movement. And a quick tidbit, a lot of people don't know that back in like the late 90s, the government was found guilty in the death of Martin Luther King, but a lot of people don't know that. So it is a way to make noise, is to wake up the government of the bullshit that they're doing and have them, you know, fucking treat you better and as equals. The possibility are there, but everybody's fucking scared. And we just got all these shiny toys, so why do I want to fight? Look, I have this nice webcam and these laptops and this fucking coffee maker, and just why would I ever fight, you know, because it could get better. You know, it's not horrible, you know. We could be some fucking malnourished kids out in Somalia, or fucking one of the motherfuckers out in Russia who are in an Asian camp out in Russia, and they think they're in Asia, but they don't know that they're actually off the coast of fucking Russia and all. Which is crazy shit that's going on in other parts of the world. But yeah, things could be better, but we don't want it to be better. We're content with where we're at. So.
Yeah. I don't know about any of this controversy, all about this world affairs with religion. I'm waiting on this iPhone 6. I heard it's a bigger screen, lighter weight, more battery life. And I just heard, speaking of why the fuck we don't care about shit, I laughed that I was so intrigued by, I don't know, was Megan Fox a mom? Is this hot bitch a mama? She's working on baby number 2, apparently. Fucking.
Megan Fox, the white chick?
The white bitch from fucking Transformers. Apparently, and you know, it's so funny because it's Fox News who's bringing this fucking update to us. Look, and Megan Fox's heart is not in showbiz. Like, this bitch fucking ever was truly had her heart into anything, just a cock in her mouth, since becoming a mom. And it just goes on to talk about how she made over $700 million. Really? Oh, she started in a film that made $700 million. Regardless. And she's just talking about how she wants to focus on her, on having a second child. And I didn't even know this bitch... I want to say I remember her getting pregnant, but then again, I don't, because we never saw any fat pictures of her, unless she's just that fucking smart to where she had
pictures of her fat thumbs.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, she's the bitch that just fucked up pants to begin with, as we talked about a million times before. But yeah, and it's so funny, because like I said, I am a fan of Fox News, though, just because I really do like the bullshit that they try to feed you when something real happens. Oh, let's not talk about this tea party shit. Look at Megan Fox. Look how good she looks after having a fucking kid. Motherfuckers, really.
Oh, no, yeah, I didn't even know she had a kid. Ever since the Nazi shit that she said about, was it James Cameron or...
No, Michael Bay. Yeah.
Ever since then, like, I'm kind of over the bitch, and I do still want to see Ninja Turtles, but I'm mad that they got this bitch.
August 8th, that's all I can say. as much as I want fucking Jesus to hurry the fuck up, don't do it before this movie comes out, because I gotta see it.
And one
kill
thing
me afterwards.
One thing that'll probably happen before August 8th is I'm pretty sure we'll have another mass shooting, but according to...
Statistics show?
According to NY Mag, mass shootings are not on the rise. It says it's only natural faced with atrocities like those that took place in Aurora or Sandy Hook or Isla Vista to sink into a what the hell is wrong with the world attitude. And based on the conversations that often follow these tragedies, it would be easy to think that life in the United States is as dangerous as ever, that the country is increasingly violent, brutal place, but luckily the stats tell a different story. Apparently, when you take at mass shootings before more fatality, the victims, it's been up and down, but the actual incidents in general are pretty much the same that they've been since the late 1970s. It says it's clear that there's no major upward trend, and slicing the data differently doesn't make a difference. Fox said that since homicides are on the downside in general, the overall shape of the graph wouldn't change much if you change the definition of mass shootings to say 3 victims or more. There isn't even an uprising in the number of school shooting victims, at least based on the stats. And so now it goes back to how much you believe when Fox News is involved in something. But if you ask Fox News, who's affiliated with the NRA, mass shootings aren't on the rise. Everything's kosher. Don't be scared.
It's only death, yeah.
Something you should be scared about, though, because fuck Fox News. I'm not going to read this whole article, but, you know, I cannot, you know, your boy Arizona Verse cannot get out of here without talking some conspiracy. And I ran across this one conspiracy that kind of sunk with me, and I can't fucking get over it. And so I looked it up to do a little bit more research, and I found that there's a lot more, if I can bring up the beginning of this article, there's a lot more controversy going on with
this. Is this about the new Saved by the Bell behind the scenes documentary that they're gonna air pretty soon in September?
Why am I just now hearing about this now? No, this is about 6 insane but convincing theories on children's pop culture. I'm only gonna bring up 2 because it's only 2 of them that resonated.
Holy crap.
But we'll put the article up on our website on the ADHD page by Monday. But number 5...
Looking at the little comic strip right now.
Yeah. Coming in at number 5, it says they actually have page back 1. So if you go down to the bottom and hit previous, I'm on number 5, yeah. And then we'll read that other one. But it says that everyone in Winnie the Pooh is a textbook example of a common psychiatric... it because in the December 2000 edition of the Canadian Medical Association, the joint teams of some university published a study that diagnosed the characters in Winnie the Pooh with crippling mental problems. And no, they had no idea that they were doing such a... Let me scroll down here. It said, why it's not crazy is it's not like they had to stretch to find the appropriate diagnosis. These are primary colors of the crazy spectrum. Each character embodies a specific disorder with pretty much every single line. Let's start with the obvious look at Eeyore. Eeyore suffers. Yeah, he's an emo. He suffers from fucking depression. He has an anxiety disorder. And then going through the rest of them, it shows that Piglet is afraid of everything. Oh, shit. Where's the... Let me scroll down, because there was one where it showed all the lines. Yeah, so Piglet suffers from anxiety disorder. Tigger has ADHD. Fucking the bunny has over-compulsive disorder. Winnie the Pooh is obviously a lazy fuck, but I think he has something else going on with him. But I was just reading through this, and now when you count down, each one of them are some type of odd thing, and it might be as simple as that character, that kid that kept showing up to conversate with them. What if that kid is actually a psychiatrist, and those six people are the imaginations of these crazy patients that come in and sit down and have talks with them? What if that's the case? It might be.
Honestly, I think that was the way for them to kind of... I mean, obviously, because I think we all grasp at something. We all cling to something for its familiarity, or whatever. But I'm wondering, is that just the way they crafted us to be? So that somehow some little bit kind of clings to something that may have garnished our attention will kind of lead us into that direction, maybe, possibly, or... That, I don't know. I always feel like cartoons are made to fucking manipulate
into direction.
Yeah, ultimately. Yeah.
That's funny because that it then brings up the number two thing that came up in this article, and this is what kind of started all of this. I can't stop thinking about this, but did you know that the Smurfs are just tiny blue Nazis?
I started laughing at one of the comic strips of one of the comments about fucking hating kites. I was thinking, I figured, is kike a fucking racial slur for what?
I think a kike is the racial slur for Jews, like nigger for black people. I think that's what it is. The fucking kike. Yeah, I think that's how it breaks down.
I mean, I'm not sure if I was reading into that, that was something else.
So, though, yeah, it says that in the world of reading too much into children's cartoons, it's a well-known fact that the Smurfs are secretly communists. It says that they decided that... Where's that? The Little Blue Book, this dude claims that the Smurf Village is actually a Nazi utopia full of micro-fascists. He additionally accuses the Smurfs of being anti-Semitic because, hey, while we're at it, and it shows the comic strip, and one of the Smurfs is like, go to Smurf, Brainy, we'll Smurf what we like. And then the other one says, how do you Smurf you are? I don't get that. It says, go Smurf a kite. Kite, and then one of them says, I hate kites, but it looks like he's saying, I hate kikes. So, yeah, that's a little humor. A little play on words right there. One of those guys were a wordsmith. But it basically breaks down the reason why it's not that crazy is because the creator of the Smurfs, Paris Kulliver, a.k.a. Peyo, was born in Belgium in 1928, which means that he spent his childhood under Nazi occupation and, according to Bueno, might have consequently reflected the spirit of those times in his later work, whether he was aware of it or not. We can all agree that a person's early years can have a great influence on his or her later life, and it's like how the creator of Mario allegedly based his design of his annoying landlord based off of, you know, that's how Mario came to be. But it says that the Smurfs are all united against a common enemy, the sorcerer Gargamel, whose large nose supposedly makes him look like a Jewish stereotype. Take on top of that that Gargamel has a cat named Asriel, which is a name that comes from Jewish mysticism and is the creator of Smurfette, who becomes a vision of Aryan beauty after Papa Smurf fixes her by making her, you know, blue with blonde hair and blue eyes. And it basically breaks down, like, there's another episode. There was one called the Black Smurfs, where the Smurfs got infected by bites, and they got a mysterious disease that turned them black, mindless, and impressive. And it was a playoff of blood purity. And so, yeah, this dude wrote this whole book on this. And ever since I've seen that, like, I can't help but to wrap my brain around, yeah, the Smurfs are Nazis. They were blue people who were perfect. And it even goes even deeper with, like, the KKK, how all the KKK members wear white hoods and all the Smurfs have white hats, except mm-hmm. that when you're the Clan Master, you're in red. And what does Papa Smurf have? He has a red hat. So the Smurfs are all about Nazi Germany and the fucking KKK and not liking kikes and niggas. So shouts out to this article. It just fucked up my childhood.
It makes sense.
I know, it's one of those conspiracies where I hate to say, yeah, kind of makes sense when you look at it like that. Kind of makes sense.
Am I mad at it? No.
Mad or no?
Or no? Very, very or no? Very, very much or no? So I have nothing to say about this. Kind of like, oh fuck, who would have thunk it, huh?
Yeah, so there's a couple other articles about how Donald Duck represented capitalism and that barber elephant represented
Dunbar?
Colonists or some shit like that. We'll post it on the website, so make sure you stop by ibhmpodcast.com and take a look at that and read up and let us know what you think about that, because that shit cray-cray. Speaking of shit, real quick, that's Cray Cray. I was going to say, I've been meaning to post this on Facebook, but I haven't got around it. The reason why I use the word Cray Cray is that Kai's favorite cartoon right now is Life at Barbie's Dream House. I cannot get this boy to stop watching this Barbie cartoon, but I am not going to front on him. It kind of goes hard in the paint. He didn't go out and watching it. It's like fucking six seasons, and it's like Barbie, but they did it like it's a reality TV show.
What?
Like, yeah, it's insane, yo. So it's like Barbie and all of her friends, and they got her closet, and she's living in her dream house. It's about Barbie's life. But then they do cutaway scenes where they do one-on-one interviews with the different girls, and they talk about how much this chick ain't this and that, and
like a reality show.
It's a reality show, and it's Barbie's Life at Dream House. So go ahead, check that out, people. It's on YouTube, it's on Netflix. Go ahead and get you some Barbie the Dream House in your life, and thank God, because he got this whole thing started. So
that's ridiculous. That's really ridiculous. Dick Cray. Oh man, really fast. So anyway, I think the first time I ever heard, it was the first time I ever heard it, but I started laughing my ass off. I'm a big, you know how I'm a fan of white bitches, and there was is it a little bit, just a little bit. People really don't know this about me, but I was watching the Katy Perry documentary. Oh God, did I fucking cry in it? But that's not the main point. I remember I was laughing my ass off because there's a point where she had said cray cray, and they had put it in fucking subtitles, and they fucking and was it apostrophes? They fucking put it on there, crazy, for obviously the white masses that fucking were watching this shit that weren't gonna know what the fuck that meant. They put parentheses just for you, so you know what cray cray means, because obviously I don't fucking know. But yeah, I started laughing my cock off when that shit happened, when I read that.
Cray
cray, it's cray.
Cray cray, that's so cray cray, that's so amazing.
Oh, do the ravens stare?
And on that note, I guess it's that time of the show. It is time for
dedication. Horrible voices.
I got two dedications, and how many dedications do you have, Papo? Did you scrounge up any?
Yeah, I got two.
So we'll go back and forth, I guess.
Yeah, and do you want to go first, and then
I'll go
first,
since we were talking about white bitches.
Oh, I don't know if I should go with my white bitch. I'll save her for last. She's the most special. Go ahead.
And so my first dedication goes to my first, which is...
Wait. I don't know what happened. It cut off. Say that again.
Oh, no, I was going to say... goes back to my teenage years, and my first time I ever crushed on a celebrity, it was this one. woman indeed, and she's been out of the scene for a long time, but I want to bring her back in and reintroduce her to everybody's mind because she's so fucking fabulous. And my first dedication goes to the beautiful Neve Campbell.
Oh wow.
The Scream series and Party of Five and all that goodness. That was my first celebrity crush. I fell in love with Neve Campbell. And she's been off the scene. I think she did some Broadway stuff for a while. And I think she lives in like Canada now. Yeah, she's a Canadian actress. I think she's back to Canada. So I dedicate this episode to Neve Campbell during her Scream years. There was nothing about Sydney Prescott that you couldn't tell me, man. I was on it, yo. That was my boo thing. So, and also, don't forget The Craft, and don't forget...
Oh, yo. Wait, she was the white bitch in The Craft? Wasn't there another...
That crazy chick with the black hair that was also in there, and my boo thing, the chick, not Cray Summers, she's the other black chick that looks like Cray Summers, and she later on did that Half and Half show. Actually, I got the link right here, let me bring it up.
I was going to say, I think, and don't look at your phone yet, I sent you all my things, maybe don't click on it yet, and I forget what her name was, because there's another pale bitch that was in The Craft that was fucking hot.
The crazy bitch?
It was a crazy bitch. That wasn't Neve Campbell, that was a different bitch, right?
Yeah, the crazy bitch, I can't find her.
Maybe we should look up The Craft and just go to, come on, IMDb, hurry up.
I'm on the Wikipedia right now. I'm trying to find her fucking name. Oh, is this her? Fairiz Balk? Is that her name? Fairiza Balk. I'm going to look this up and see if this is...
Google fucking with us right now.
If so, that's... Oh, yep, that's her. That's
what's her name again? Say it again.
Fairiza Balk, I guess. Fairiza Balk.
There we go, Balk. Even brings something to us. Oh, that's her. Oh, yeah.
Bitch with the big mouth. That's the reason why she didn't blow up, because she needs an American name. If her name was Sue Ann Smith, this bitch.
God, she just looks like she can fucking do coke all night long. Oh, you know what I remember her from? Now looking at her again, remember she was on Waterboy. She's like, men supposed to have stink meat.
Right.
Ooh-wee.
She was another bad one. But back to my boo thing, Neve Campbell, who was also, you may remember, in the film Wild Things, which I think took my whole generation getting into lesbian fetishes after we saw that fucking whole...
That kiss scene right in the pool?
Kiss scene in the pool with her.
That's all I can remember.
What was that bitch name?
Some blonde bitch.
Was her name, because she, Denise Richardson, was that her name?
Yeah, actually, what's Denise Richardson?
Yeah, her. So,
before she became fucking Charlie Sheen's fuck toy, I think. Or it might have been around the same time frame, I don't remember.
So, Neve Campbell, you still my boo, I ain't forgot about you, bro. Don't worry. So, I'll pass it on to pop-up.
The pale wins. Pale wins for sure. And I figure... And I don't know what it was, but I figured I want to settle, because I was going through... I forgot who... I was on Instagram and I saw some WCW, and for those that aren't hip to technology, Women Crush Wednesday, and I was like, wait, I'm like, god damn, she's really fucking cute. And did you get the picture?
Oh,
I look at your phone. Yeah, you can look at it now, please do. And I was like, oh, she's on Billboard? I'm like, what's this about? I didn't know what was going on. I'm like, how the fuck do I not know her? She's this fucking real pale skin beauty. And any pale skin with red lipstick is going to fucking stick out like a fucking sore thumb. And then I'm looking at the name, Adore Delano. And I'm like, where the fuck is she from? And why does that shit sound familiar? And then next to the fucking, the little hashtag that said WCW, it added Danny Noriega. And I was like, wait. I know that fucker, and this dude is some faggot from American Idol that didn't make it, but then he got fame, he got more popular being on YouTube, and I remember he did drag originally as this bitch named Angel Baby Doll, which to me was just a fucking hilarious ass thing. He actually looked good in fucking drag, but apparently he's on, and I haven't watched the show, but apparently he's on this new, what is that, RuPaul show that she had, she has? Runway Drag Race. Yeah, apparently he's on the new season as his new alias, Adore Delano. And the picture that I want you to post up, because he kind of looks ugly in other pictures.
That
I guess I'm gay. I mean, I don't fucking know. All I know is that he's fucking hilarious. He's a funny dude. She's funny. I don't know. Yeah, look at that. Goddamn. Like, no. The one that I sent, that wasn't the one I sent you.
Oh, no. But I was just scrolling through. But yeah, let me bring up the one you sent.
Okay.
Which is a phenomenal fucking picture.
Bring that up. Put that shit to the camera so those that are watching us not can see. No. It doesn't. Look at what you wonder. What does that mouth do? And even though it's probably had plenty of other cocks in there, I'm sure it wouldn't be the first. But goddamn, I was like, wow. I'm like, ooh-wee, Lord, you're confusing me. What's happening here?
And going through the pictures, he or she, however you want to be politically correct, has pictures with Jeffree Star, who's been talked about on this show several times. But yeah, that's actually the wild. You can't a couple of these pictures you can't tell because there's pictures with the guy. But
see, and there's a lot of, and even then, like, he's so feminine, like, it's ridiculous. And I think I really like this, but obviously being from a Latin thing, just the jokes really struck to me when he posed as Angel Baby Doll. And it just, obviously, I don't know, it's part of the community, but fucking A, man, she's pretty goddamn hot when she's at this, what's her name? Adore Delano.
Delano, yeah.
Yeah.
And once again, this goes back to what I said before. Like, we talk about this and, you know, we brought up several trannies and we have plenty of penises on our dedication wall, but whatever. And it goes back to what I honestly say. In like 20 years, everyone's going to be pansexual. The lines are getting blurred so damn much. Eventually, people aren't going to look at it like that. Eventually, you're going to get to the point where it doesn't matter what the genitalia is. It's going to come down to what they look like. And that looks like a hot chick. So, bam, that's a hot fucking chick. And so, yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
My fucking Google Talk was on. It's trying to Google what I'm talking about. But, yeah, go ahead.
No, that my dedication goes to, I guess, my secret faggery that I kept well hidden in the fucking closet. So, for all those that were curious, fucking Danny as Adore Delano can fucking get it. So, yeah, that was dedication number one. And I feel like I might as well throw that out there. Might as well throw it out there. I'm so mean to the gays. I'll give y'all niggas a bone. I know y'all want this bone.
We got love for the trannies, though. We got love for the trannies over here. So that shit is wild. And my next dedication actually is my last celebrity crush, if you will. The one that stole my heart, and there will never be another celebrity like her in my heart. And I'm mad at the heifer because she went out and she got married. But after seeing this video that leaked on YouTube, there may still be a chance out there.
Uh-oh.
Did you get to click on this YouTube link?
No, I did not. What the fucking? Oh, the Swiss. Oh, I already know. I already know. Then I just saw Swiss Beats. I know who this. I know who this nigga is married to. And I got very upset when I found out who he was married to. Are you talking about Miss Alicia?
So now, to people who don't know, this video leaked and it's on Media Takeout's YouTube account. And Swiss Beats and some of his boys, and they're hanging out, looks like outside an event, and they're talking. And Swiss homeboy is like, say that again.
Wait, don't look at that yet. That's my dedication. Don't fuck with it.
Swiss is like, you know, I like to have fun. And they're talking about the lipstick on Swiss's collar. And he's like, hey, wifey knows I like to have fun. And
whoa.
So Swiss, and how it's being taken, of course, in this thing, is it sounds like Swiss is talking about Alicia Keys knows he gets it in when he's out on the road. And if that is true, I need to go out here and put it out publicly to Miss Alicia Keys right now. You don't need that in your life. Baby, come home.
Something
here for you. Come
dedicated.
On.
Girl, I will leave my chick and my kids, and I will come home to you. Mama wants me back with the sister, so I will leave this. I'll leave with fucking So Papa. I'm sure he'll take her. And fucking, I'm going to come with you, and we'll get in the studio and start making sure it happens.
Girl, we can make this hit record. I'm just saying, baby.
Yo, we do need a singer though to make our music pop though. Come on now,
baby, come back. And it's actually funny because when I moved to California, the first day I was in California, touchdown, went to sleep, you know, woke up, and my first morning in LA, Alicia Keys performed at the Staples Center, and I was like, bam, it's a sign right there. I was like, we in tune, like we at the same time. I'm just saying.
My only beef with her, which obviously was a help for her, commercially speaking, because you know how much I know you're a stan of his, but I fucking hate Jay-Z. So when the fucking Empire shit of Mine, which I thought was dope, I was like, ooh, why you gotta make with the man that I hate the most, girl? I loved you so much, and I wanted you to be with Common, and you're fucking up the game.
And it's funny, because that song added to, that was when the Jay-Z Illuminati rumors were getting at the height, and that's when crazy. Jay-Z had that line on there about knowing that outside of church, Jesus can't save you because church ends and life starts or something like that. Everybody was like, oh, he's an atheist Illuminati devil worshiper. So.
And that in itself is what really fucking pissed me off. I guess in a way, I do understand, and I kind of respect that line now more than ever, because the church is what kind of is where tradition stems, and it's upheld. And if you kind of like in society, if we keep in this fucking rigor mortis fucking fuck sort of thing to where, you know, we're all filled in with all sorts of fuckery, we won't be able to grow from it until it's destroyed. Until we destroy society and it's all its images, we won't be able to evolve from it. But then again, it's like, well, fuck, you're talking about the church, and the church is the body of Christ. So you motherfucker, fuck you. In the name of the Lord.
Swag.
Yeah. Swag. Fucking. And for all the fags out there, all the gangster fags, ratata.
Ratata. Oh, yo, and you didn't even get to see the shit that I posted on the IBHM Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. I need to get back on Facebook for that.
I know. I posted some shit with that ratata dude.
I should have sent you. I found a ratatouille. Is that it? No?
No, this one is like Taco Bell. But it's called Gratata Taco Bell, and it has the logo. It says "Think outside that foo-foo lame shit." And then,
that's awesome. That's a good fucking plan. Cause the one meme that I saw was, it was for Ratatouille, and they fucking put the face of what's his fucking face on the Bane guy, which fit kind of perfectly, even though it was fucking sliced really shittily. But it said Ratatouille. But honestly, that's a way better play on words. Fucking think outside the foo-foo lame shit.
Shots at your fitted.
Ratatata.
Your second dedication?
My second dedication, I sent you a pic if you want to take a look at it. This and this kind of goes to show, and I'm not such a materialistic fucking person, because this bitch is ugly as hell, but there's just something about it, because like I told you, you know I have a thing for them dark-looking, ugly, fucking pale bitches. And I want to say shouts out to our Philly correspondent, Trav Lord. He put me on to this band that I didn't know about, and apparently it's pretty much just this bitch herself. Her name's Meryl Garvis, Merrillgarvus. Meryl Garvis, Merrill Garvis, Garbus. I mean, I could be mispronouncing the shit out of that, I don't fucking know. But she's part of, she and some fucking bassist collectively are the band Toon Yards. Okay. And, dude, there's a song, actually, if you can fucking listen to it. And there's actually a dope-ass acoustic version of a song called Power. Power. P-O-W-A. If you can ever fucking listen to it. It's just fucking dope. She, artistically, it's just something crazy. She does two shits that I fucking love to do. Not only fucking sing fucking really weird pitches, which sounds dope because of how weird it is, but she'll fucking loop herself. She'll come up with this fucking weird-ass fucking little drum loop. And, like, she did a live performance. You're going to have to peep this out afterwards. And for those who are listening, I said there's a really dope, there's a YouTube page called Sound Opinion. And, anyways, that she did a live version of the song Power, P-O-W-A, where she just, like, she makes a quick little drum loop, like, out of nothing, out of the fucking tapping on the goddamn mic and on the fucking stand. She makes a little loop. She does a little fucking weird little high-pitched singing shit that she loops around, and then she just starts fucking wailing on a goddamn ukulele, bro, and she's just dope. Fucking, like I said, Trav Lord, shout out to him. He put me onto her two albums, whatever, Toon Yards. One was Kill Who or Who Kill, and another one was the newest one, Nicky Knack. Anyways, from those two albums, I got one favorite song from each album. The first album, Song Power, P-O-W-A, and then the second album, the last...
Studio version of it right now.
No, don't listen to the studio version. I went,
I like it, though.
Okay, well, like I said, I want you to peep out the video though where she does the live instrumentation. Like I said, she loops, she has a little pedal board like a true fucking musician. She loops fucking a weird little fucking drum pattern, and she fucking starts wailing on the ukulele, bro. And just to see her, see the voice that she has come out of her is what's truly amazing. Like I said, she's not commercially beautiful by any fucking means, but she is fucking beautiful in that very essence. Mind you, she may have already won because she's white. She might have already won because she seems dykey, but she truly has my fucking heart because it's just how awesome she is. And I've been obsessed with the two albums. I fucking... But yeah, like what was it? 50's new thing came out. Fucking Murs, who I love a lot as far as indie artists go. He came out with Murs Day recently. Because, you know, I guess the first offering from the fucking new Tech N9ne label signing shit. But honestly, man, and then even fucking this last thing, the Purity Rings that Travis trying to put me onto, it went to the fucking far left side because her music has been fucking consuming me, bro. Yeah. And God, and she actually was here, was it 2 weeks ago? And I was so pissed that I fucking missed it. It was like one of the most hipsterous places there is, the fucking Crescent Ballroom down here in Phoenix. Like, seriously, if you want to see a good show and enjoy some overpriced PBRs, that's the fucking place to go to, Arizona. But yeah, she was my dedication, bro. And she's the shit.
And goes to the song. Like I said, I got the studio version playing in the background in my headphones right now, and I like what I hear.
You need to see this bitch belt and play live. And like I said, she makes the drum beat right in front of you. She makes the background effects at a point where, like, where the fuck does this come in? But no, it comes in when it comes in, and you'll realize why the fuck she did what she did. It's fucking awesome.
I think I found it. You said Sound Opinions.
Yeah, that's the name of the YouTube page that posted it. I'm guessing it's a article, magazine, whatever the fuck place. But yeah, and they haven't posted shit in fucking years. Like I said, this is from her first album, her first collective album a few years back. Yeah. And yeah, it's just fucking dope, bro. It's like a fucking 7-minute video, but just the fact, just seeing how she creates this shit, you could just tell how talented she is. And yeah, if ever a bitch to dedicate to, let me tell you, this bitch has my fucking heart and my soul, and I've been consumed, and all I listen to are those two tracks, Power. Oh, and then off the new album is called Rocking Chair. They're pretty much the same damn song because they actually talk about the same thing similarly, but just they're different. It's just dope. I feel like I can go on talking about it for hours, but let's not do that.
And to the people who are watching this live, go ahead and head over to IBHMPodcasts.com and click over on the vanity section where we have our video gallery, and I got both of those videos up right now. So yeah, definitely check them out and show some love. What's up?
Power, man. You got to put that live version of that. Put that on the site. I want it.
Yeah, I got the live version and the studio version both up on the website right now. So that's what's up.
Well, might as well take. Well, yeah, okay. Now I'm trying to be nitpicking. Like, you got to put those. If you're gonna put two videos, I want to say, put the live version of that Power, and then if you could find the studio version of Rocking Chair, that would be dope. If you could. Just so I can kind of to. So, motherfucker, if ever Google was gonna try to fucking typecast me to really want to fucking pick my brain, pick whatever demographic that shit is. That's that shit right there. That's that shit. You wouldn't fucking believe it coming from a fucking hip-hop head, but that's that shit right there. Oh, really quickly, speaking of fucking dumb hoes that want to be fucking hip-hop, Lana Del Rey fucking had a recent album, and god damn do I hate the bitch. As much as I would want to dick her up and make her have my babies, I think she's really honestly, and I know we usually end the show with dedications, but I guess another bitch who can get it, but she's just a dumb bitch. And I feel like she's part of the problem when it comes to the shit that we kind of feed our youth. Because her album, which is called Ultra Violence, it fills these hoes' heads with just dumb shit. Like, she does have a song called Florida Kilos, which obviously, drug transactions, another fucking song. Just beat up another song called The Other Woman, where she fucking obviously glorifies relationship. And then the one that really fucking tickled my asshole the most, and it's the second track on the album, is called Fucked My Way Up to the Top. And I'm like, wow. I'm like, you really telling these hoes how to be and how to succeed in life. God bless you, Lana Del Rey.
And what's funny, I'm going to throw her in as a dedication, too. There was an article that came up recently, and I fuck with, I bring up Vigilant Citizen a lot. And it's funny, I didn't get into some debates about it. And just because I like a website or follow it doesn't mean I believe in every little bit of their ideology. It's okay to be friends with someone, or it's okay to read a certain or like a certain thing and not agree with it 100%. And so every article I've ever read on Vigilant Citizen isn't like, oh, that's the gospel, that's the truth right there. But some of it is interesting. And one of the interesting ones, which just came up on June 16th, is Lana Del Rey says that she wants to join the 27 Club. And for those,
I've been wanting to. I only got a few months to make it. Come on.
I miss mine. So, for those who don't know, the 27 Club is essentially, it's a quote-unquote esoteric group, if you will, of these celebrities that die at the age of 27, which people can't wrap their brain around it, but they'll be disturbed. There will be disturbed but charismatic individuals, and they die at the age of 27. And in a recent interview with The Guardian, Lana Del Rey said, "I wish I was dead already," citing Amy Winehouse and Kurt Cobain as heroes.
Fucking A.
Both of them died at the age 27. And while this worrying statement might be a sick way to gain publicity and consolidate her dark, edgy aura, it is also representative of what the Lana Del Rey persona is all about, the Sets Kitten program. So I'm going to put this up on the website, too. I'm not going to go into the article too much, but it will be tied on the IBHM podcast. And I do love Lana Del Rey because I'm a Captain Save-A-Ho, and she looks like she just needs somebody to hold her and love her all night long. And I'm there for her.
Of course I want fucking ASAP Rocky's fucking Sloppy Seconds. Hello, Iggy Azalea.
Nick Young. Fuck that nigga. Lakers ain't shit. Fuck that nigga. Get with a real nigga.
Yeah, seriously. Come down about 2 feet.
Yeah, just throw some shots at your bed. I'm just saying.
Give that some of that rock.
So on that note.
Mr. Still Your Girl.
Our email is ibhmpodcast@gmail.com. Questions, comments, articles you want to hear our opinion on, send it over there. You can find us on the web at the following sites: Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Tumblr, Podomatic. Just simply ask IBHM Podcast in the appropriate spot. Subscribe to our show on Stitcher, iTunes, or Podomatic. Just search I'm Black, He's Mexican.
Yeah.
If you don't feel like doing any of that, simply head over to our website, IBHMPodcast.com, and find all of our links there.
You bitch.
Once again, I'm Black. He's Mexican.
I guess.
If you didn't like this podcast,
you're goddamn racist. Must be.
Until next time. One. Throw some shots at your fitted.
questions every day.